listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast. Because Rod and Karen are hot.
Somebody told me that this planet was small. We used to live in the same building on the same floor and never met before until I'm overseas on tour. And Peepa's Ethiopian queen from Philly, taking classes abroad. She's studying film and flash photo focus record.
Hey, welcome to the Black Guy Tip podcast. The host, Rod and
Karen.
That's right. We're in the house on a Monday. Mm-hmm. My day is all discombobulated because we did Balls Deep today. Me and Justin, you know, normally that's like a later in the week thing.
Right.
But, it's almost Turkey Day, so we had to, you know, we had to come with it early. And speaking of coming with it early, you should be familiar with the voice you just heard, during the lyrics to the show, to start the show. But it's our girl Leslie Mack from the Interracial John podcast. What's going on, Leslie?
What's up? What's up? So happy to be here. Thanks for having me. Y'all was on one. I mean, how long was Buzz Eve Sports this morning? It was long.
Yeah, it was shit. I mean, we did about 4 hours, you know. He gets here at 10, we normally finish at 2. Mm-hmm. But it's kind of two shows in one, because the first like hour and some change is us talking about Insecure and Atlanta and Love and Hip Hop. Yes. And all the take, you know, happenings of the day. And then we talk about sports, which is
you know, the K-pop dance party. That was good too.
Oh man, I played them some K-pop.
K-pop is flames.
Yeah, we went to Seoul Food. Yes. Seoul, like Seoul, Korea. It's a local restaurant, and we go there sometimes. And they play K-pop videos, and I don't know what it was Saturday, but they played the gangster K-pop. Yes. I was like, what was this shit the whole time?
I'm talking about little kids in the background. The dude was cussing and everything.
They definitely said nigga. They definitely said nigga.
They said fuck.
And then if they didn't say nigga, they definitely said ninja. It was one of the two, but it was close enough that it got my attention. But they were.
And them beats were going hard too.
Yeah, it was, but it was so funky. I didn't even get offended. It was just more. It was more like when somebody does a trick and you just impressed. Where you just like, that didn't think you could do that. All right, but yeah, we had a good time, man, this morning. Now, of course, speaking of a good time, the Interracial John, man, you guys went out of the country as soon as Trump won. I'm surprised you came back.
Me too.
Stuff to come back. I mean, there was definitely a lot of like, you know, maybe we should just let it roll and stay away for a while.
Yeah, I thought y'all were I thought it was part of y'all secret plan to escape America.
I know.
And that y'all just had the information a long time ago and was just like, just in case, let's go ahead and be in another country when it pops off.
Get our passports ready.
Yeah, we don't have to come back if we don't want to.
Yeah, because a lot of people, what people fail to realize with passports, a lot of people's 10 years is getting ready to come up. So they said they're getting ready to be a mass renewal of passports. And so if you're applying for one, it's going to be a long time before you get that shit. So, you know, they went and was like, you know, we don't go ahead and renew our shit and go ahead and leave the country.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, we had to renew ours for this trip because we had spent about 10 years for us, too. But we did it earlier, and we were down in Jamaica for our 15th anniversary celebration, which is what we're...
Congratulations.
Thank you so much. And, you know, our anniversary is the same, but we were like, oh, this will be great. It'll be like a couple of days after the election, and we can just say deuces no matter what happens. And it was incredible to be able to do that, I have to be honest, just to not be here for the initial crush of white guilt and irritancy at the same time. So it was nice.
I think the Chappelle the skit on Saturday Night Live kind of captured at least how I felt about it, where I don't know that there's much this country can do to truly shock me as a black person, as far as in the negative way. Like,
right.
In the like, I get shocked when positive shit happens. I was shocked Obama won. Like, I was just like,
they let that happen.
Especially like 2012. Like, 2008 felt like white people had euphoria. 2012 was the one where I was like, yeah, so, I mean, come on. We had our 4 years of a nigga. That's cool. That was more than I expected. In 2012, you went, I was like, that's different, you know? But yeah, we backed it back to life.
Right.
Back to reality.
So true. And you know, Marissa of the Way was with us on the trip. We had about 16 people total that were there. My sisters, my mom, Marissa was there. Obviously Drew, you know, he had to be there. Just kidding. A bunch of our friends, Drew's brother and, another amazing organizer, Lena from Minneapolis, and Chonilla, both Clove and Shirley were there too. So it was a little like family reunion, and like half the people there I met online in one way, shape, or form. So it was amazing to have everybody there, and we spent a whole week. We had the best time. It was great.
I'm not even gonna lie. I was jealous when she left. I was like, I almost said, can we go with you? I mean, we should have made plans on leaving town too.
it was dope seeing y'all, you know, have fun over there and just relax. Cause it feels like, you know, online so much of, the experience that we have is watching each other be like, man, these motherfuckers today. Did you see them? You know, so it's cool to be able to be like, oh, look, they just on the beach or hanging out at the pool or having drinks. Like, cool. We can do other shit other than, you know, blank on motherfuckers every day.
Yeah. And, it's relaxing because I'm not even gonna lie. When we went to Miami, like, I see how white people can just fade in and out and act like shit don't happen. I mean, cause I was like, how y'all doing? Here's a picture of my feet. Here's a picture of the beach. I'm drinking mimosas. And then I was gone.
But,
is important, although I'm back and like bouncing off the walls, so these hoes better watch out.
Well, it's not like there's any shortage of shit to talk about because shit keeps happening, and with Trump now, it's like everything's a scandal of the day, of the hour. Like, there's just so many, and white people let that happen to America, so
it's all blame. Blame white people. 2016, get your people. And before we move on, Leslie, me and my mother-in-law, I went to get my hair done Friday, and me and my mother-in-law was talking and stuff, and she had bought you up, and she bought Chonilla up, and because y'all saying y'all were together, she was like, these are two like mixed couples that I could tell that they really get each other, and that I could tell that, you know, they understand each other's, you know, backgrounds and things like that. And I was like, yeah. I was like, those are two couples that it will be shocked if, you know, one day we find out that, Leslie ain't woke and, neither is your husband.
It's funny too, cause Drew and Clove are very much alike. And so Shirley and I just had many laughs on the trip just with the two of them acting their white ass selves. It was pretty funny.
Yeah, that was dope, man. I was, like I said, it was cool to see people just kicking it for a while, especially, you know, people that, it just seemed like there's always something to do, or something going wrong. Oh, so right. just to see people taking some time to be like, cool, let me refresh myself.
Yeah, particularly in the field that you're in, a lot of people have a tendency to forget people that are on the front line. I consider you one of the people that are quote unquote on the front line. They need a break. And for some reason, people act like you're supposed to just go until you drop dead. Like, you're not supposed to take a break. You're not supposed to take a vacation. You're never supposed to be off. You're not even really supposed to watch TV or go anywhere. You're supposed to wake up, sleep, eat, shit, piss, everything. No, nobody can function like that. Nobody can.
Well, it's supposed to be thankless. You know, like, that's the way people view it. Like, if you represent for blackness in any way, then you should be penniless and homeless, and no luxuries in life should ever come your way. And you should be just completely exhausted and drained until you're used up, and that's it, you know. Like, and anything else is, you're gonna get discredited, you know. It's like, oh, you got a car so you don't walk everywhere? Okay, see, I knew you was fake. And it's so when you see that cycle over and over and over, you know, it's frustrating or whatever. And I think also people feel guilty, like, even as you do stuff for your people, or for whatever cause, you know, you're dedicated to, part of you does feel like that shit can get in your head, you know, the same way like being unemployed can get in your head, where it's like, you shouldn't be ashamed of this, but it's like, oh man, I'm in my house in the air conditioning and there's some people out there on the street sleeping. I'm a bad person, I'm a bad activist, I'm a bad whatever. And I think that shit all adds up. But like I said, go ahead.
This trip is definitely a little bit like that. I mean, the place we stayed, we rented some private homes and everything. It was very opulent, you know, the height of capitalism and all of that. I mean, Drew and I, you know, it was a big occasion for us, so we were doing it a little bigger than we normally do because of all of those things. And so it was really enjoyable, but it was hard for all of us not to have consistent conversations about capitalism and how we felt about, you know, taking part in the system in these moments, even though it was about joy for us, it never leaves you. So that's definitely there.
Yeah, it's, you know, so like I said, it was refreshing to us as well. Yeah, it's you know, I'm glad you're back. Glad to be looking forward to some more podcasts coming out soon. Been binging some of y'all's old stuff. You know, just in the meantime, but it's cool to see you back, man. You ready to you know, get into the swing of things?
Do it.
All right. First of all, this is the Blackout Tips podcast. You should have known that. I don't know what y'all been listening to all this time, but okay. Let's say you didn't know. This is the Blackout Tips podcast. You find us on iTunes and Stitcher. Leave us 5-star reviews. If they're nice, we'll read them on the air. If they're not, we will pretend that they never happened. Nope. You can also do stuff like leave us nice voicemails at 704-557-0186. That's 704-557-0186. Make sure they're 3 minutes or less and don't be crazy, okay? Because we don't play those.
No.
You can also do things like go to our website, theblackouttips.com, and vote in the polls. Become a premium subscriber at theblackouttips.com/premium. There's just a ton of stuff you can do, guys. The official weapon of the show is
the taser,
an unofficial sport
is bullet ball
and bullet ball
extreme.
Boom. And today we are sponsored, guys. We're brought to you by Bevel. Bevel is the first and only shaving system designed specifically for coarse, curly hair and sensitive skin. Step up your shave game and say goodbye to razor bumps. That's right. Go to getbevel.com/TBGWT today and get your first month free at getbevel.com. That's getbevel.com/TBGWT. And it's almost Christmas, so like, get your shit now. And then give it to somebody at Christmas, man. It makes a great, like, gift, and it comes in a sleek box that you can
already look gift wrapped.
Yeah, you can just, like,
yeah, that's how I got sit under uncle. The tree. I was like, here you go. I was like, I need to wrap it. Oh, shit. No, I don't. Here you go.
Right. You just hand it to them. They think you gift wrapped it. Yes. It's just a nice looking box, man. All right. So we have all kinds of news to get into. Things, as you can imagine, have continued to happen in the last 24 hours, and we will be here to continue to cover them. So it's looking like Kanye West has canceled the rest of his tour.
Why?
I don't know. They didn't really say. He refunded his fans in Sacramento, where he only performed for, I think, 10 minutes. He did 2 songs. He did a rant, and then he left the stage abruptly.
Yeah, yeah. Them people, yeah, I would want my money back, too, because I didn't come for that.
Yeah.
And he was late, too, right?
Yeah, he was an hour and a half late. So, I mean, I'm assuming other people get their money back if he decides not to do the rest of this tour.
Right.
You know, which is a, you know, pretty, I don't know, man. Like, I guess I'm of 2 minds about it, right? Because on the one hand, I saw a lot of people trying to guess what his mental health state was and saying all these things about, you know, like, oh, he's this is a manic episode, this is that. You know, I know he's rapped about being on certain, like, Lipro and stuff like this. Like, the thing for me is, well, if that's true and he needs a break, whether it's for mental health reasons or whatever, then what's the point of roasting him at this point? Like, at this point, that's doing what everybody said
you should be
he
doing.
Should do. So what
away.
So why would people be mad? You know, I saw people being like, motherfucker, I can't believe you at Kanye West today. And I'm like, but yesterday you were saying he's got mental health issues and needs to take a break, or, you know, go somewhere and get therapy or something. And now today it's like, fuck you. You taking a break? So I don't know what's supposed to happen.
And people who will not be affected, because I can't see a lot of people complaining, didn't buy tickets, had no intentions on going to the show. You're just talking. Like I said, Kanye is one of those polarizing people. Anytime his name is brought up, you got 2 camps. You got the fuck him all day, every day, because he related to Kim Kardashian. Because of that connection, fuck her family too. And you have a lot of people that are flat stands. But most people stand in the middle, like me and you. I'm like, I don't give a fuck. Is the album flames? That's all I'm here for. Like, for me personally, the other stuff is irrelevant to me. But like you say, anytime you bring his name up, he's so polarizing. Those 2 camps just unnecessarily fight each other, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, I do feel somewhat bad for people that bought tickets and they're not gonna get the show that they want. I mean, you know, that I'm not gonna act like that wouldn't suck if I had tickets and, you know, it was like, well, I'm not coming to your town. But I mean, in end of the day, you know, health comes first, your family mm-hmm. comes first. Mm-hmm. And for whatever reason he's taking a break, I mean, whatever the fuck was going on was getting more and more wild every episode. Like I was starting to be like, so what's the rant? Like not how was the concert, but like, so what are you gonna do today? Which isn't really a good place to be, I think, for an artist that's making music.
Right.
I think for me, like, the thing about Kanye is this. Like, he already told us all this shit was gonna happen, it all falls down, so I don't know why any of us are acting like we're surprised. Yeah. That's the first. The second thing is, I have noticed, like, I think I saw Rain of April talking about this, about how his mom passed away November 20th. Mm-hmm. And I have a feeling, like, it seems like he has, like, leading up to that a lot, you'll see him have these kind of, like, episodes where, you know, he's just acting more out of character than he normally does. And I just think we're already, like, let's say you're a regular ass person, right? And you're not Kanye West. You know, your being dramatic looks a certain way, right? But if you're Kanye, when you are acting out, it's going to look so much huger because your regular day to day, like, life is already like all of us on 50. So right. Those things are the things I think about. And the last thing I think about is like that mental illness is not an excuse for poor behavior. You know, plenty of people have mental illnesses and they're able to make their way in the world, not fuck people up and not say shit about people and not be an asshole. So I think all of those things put together is like, I hope he gets the help he needs. I also hope he makes a good album. So. Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing. If, like, I'm not saying it is mental health related. I don't know. That's just so many people seem to be speculating that he was having mental health issues, but then those same people, when he was like, I'm taking a break, were like, nah, fuck that. See, this is what's wrong with him. And I'm like, but you can't have both. Like, it's either take care of his shit, like you said, or it's keep making this music and acting crazy like he was doing. It's no. It's not two ways about it. Like, we saw what was happening. It was one or the other. So, you know, you do what you gotta do. You know, that dude's in the spotlight a lot, and so is his family and shit. I mean, I don't know, man. That shit can just, you know, be a lot to deal with. So,
a lot. It seems like Kim's having problems bouncing back after the robbery, and I can mm-hmm. imagine that's a lot. Right. Also, that's a lot of stuff going on. I think, you know, people talk about the stresses of, you know, the main stresses you can have, like moving, getting a new job, getting married, having a baby. I mean, they just had a baby. They moved into a new house. You just got robbed at gunpoint. I mean, these are stressful things for any family to deal with, much less one that has this larger than life persona, generally speaking. So yeah. Hopefully it'll work out for him and them.
Yeah, I hope so, man. I mean, long as them albums keep being hot, I'm cool. You know, I'm not even gonna pretend to be above it. So if the album hot, I'm gonna be like, oh, he's a hot mess, but this shit banging, you heard that shit? Mm-hmm. Dave Chappelle, speaking of artists that had to take a break, he's back. He's supposed to unleash 3 Netflix comedy specials in 2017, just weeks after streaming service paid Chris Rock $40 million for 2 shows.
Netflix on it, smart.
Hey, you know, the big news to me is, what happened to HBO?
Did he have something
on HBO? No, I'm saying the HBO comedy special used to be the thing. Like,
right.
It didn't get no bigger than, oh, you know, so-and-so got an HBO comedy special coming. Right. Like,
that used to be the height.
Yeah, you sit your ass down on a Saturday because it was an event, and now more and more stand-up is just gravitating, not even to Comedy Central, but to Netflix. And that's a big ass power move Netflix is pulling off on the low, because Chris Rock, Dave Chappelle, I mean, I know
Cedric, a new one that came out on there as well, which was really good. I might add Cedric
Entertainer. Yeah, Cedric the Entertainer, I heard was good. Yeah, they got a lot of people just coming through. You know, I watched David Cross's new joint was great. It's, you know, it's just one of those things where you're like, man, there's movers and shakers on the low. But it's gonna be interesting to see exactly what his thing is, though, because they say 3 Netflix comedy specials. I think people are assuming it's gonna be like stand-up specials.
It might not be,
but we don't know, right. You know. So we'll see, man. I know he was really good on Saturday Night Live. He hadn't lost his fastball at all. Mm-hmm. And that's just a show you only have a couple weeks to prepare for. who knows what he's gonna do under his own control and right. and you know, with his own people and shit. Maybe get Neil Brennan back on there and put the team back together.
Mm-hmm. I will say, did you find it all of a sudden, like Saturday Night Live, they'd be keeping it close to the vest who's hosting nowadays? Like, I remember in previous seasons, you would get like a whole list of everybody that was going to be doing it. It seems like now it's like 2 to 3 weeks. They'll mm-hmm. be like, now Solange is coming on. Like, oh shit, when the fuck did that happen? Like, I don't know. Maybe it's just me, but it just seems like they've been using the announcements as a little bit of like, cause even when they announced Dave, there was no fanfare. Nobody knew it beforehand. It was like 2 weeks. Dave Chappelle. I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah. Even with the, picture, he took a picture with Solange, which means he was there the week, you know, she was there, but he didn't actually get his until like 2 or 3 weeks later. And that's when they put that picture out, and it's like, oh, so he's been there working on this and everyone's been keeping it hush hush. So yeah, that, I mean, yeah, they are playing it close to the vest. That's new internet age, I guess. Yeah,
I think it's maybe this is just me, my personal opinion. I think it's smart, because the way the internet works and the way people expectations are fucking ridiculous nowadays. If you announce shit too far in advance, you're going to deal with people tearing it down so bad that by the time it gets there, people are like, well, I don't want to watch the shit. So, you know, it's like, hey, we're tired of that. And let's say you get somebody that's quote unquote controversial. That means we got to ride with people fucking protesting and all that shit for months in advance. We'll just give you 2 weeks to protest if that's what you're going to do.
Mm. Yeah. I don't think they really book a lot of controversial guests at this point. So I just think it's an element of surprise.
Like if they have a movie star coming on and it turns out it gets really crappy ratings or yeah. you know, maybe. I don't know. It just seems like they're getting people and maybe Dave wasn't. Because they time it with the stuff. So this was time with his comedy announcement, right?
I guess. Well, that's funny though, because he didn't really have a thing. You know what I mean?
That's the other thing that was strange.
It
was
yeah. Like, normally it's, I got a movie coming out or something. This time he didn't even have a thing to promote, really. It was just, I'm not retired anymore. And I was like, okay, cool. Let's get Make America Funny Again. We're going to need your ass for the next 4 years. We're going to work you overtime, right. brother.
And I am here for it, but it's Dave Chappelle is one of the few people who can just show up and be like, I ain't got shit to do, but I'm going to make this funny. People go, oh, okay.
Yeah. Mark Zuckerberg has revealed a plan to combat Facebook's fake news problem. In the wake of the election, it seems that Facebook is finally accepting that their role of being kind of a media source is legit.
Right.
You know, which I mean, it's I understand why they would want to shirk this responsibility, because let me just put it that way, profit wise and responsibility wise, you would probably rather be like, we're just a social media platform. If y'all motherfuckers are evil, that's what y'all get. You know, I know that's easier than being like, let's take this responsibility seriously. But how many times do you hear people say, I saw this on Facebook? Like they don't say, I saw this on the Daily News, which had a link on a Facebook page. I saw it's just Facebook, like it's TV or something.
A lot of people underestimate how much time people spend on Facebook. Out of all of the platforms, it is the largest one. They got your grandma and your auntie who's 60 and 70 years old. Their ass is out there and they in droves. Younger people may have moved to other platforms, but they out there and they ain't going nowhere. They ain't trying these other sites. They ain't going nowhere. Facebook probably got these people till they die. So it's just one of those things where you have a built-in audience that's not going anywhere. And for a lot of those people, Facebook is their form of news. You know, people on Twitter like us, we joke about how they get shit 2 to 3 weeks later, which a lot of times they do. But when it's over there, it is big for that particular platform. And, you know, how many people have seen news articles post and people argue, people back and forth, people, you know, fall out and fight and all this stuff over post. So it's very important to me. Like you said, they could just say, fuck it. But also, I'm sorry, your platform has evolved from the college platform that it was initially supposed to be, a bunch of college kids, and you didn't think anything of it beyond that point.
And, I mean, as liberal as Zach and his wife seem to be, Mark and his wife seem to be, it probably did fuck them up that a lot of what they do is responsible for Trump winning. You know, at least, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I said, low key, Mark Zuckerberg voted for Trump. I'm
going to
tell you that right now.
Oh, you think he voted? Okay, yeah, maybe he did. I mean, I don't know his exact politics. I know he's straight up Black Lives Matter and, you know, all that shit. But, you know, who knows? He's also a very rich white person. But the thing.
White people anymore. They're all suspect.
Yeah, so, I mean.
Yeah. He had a pass before. They passed been revoked. So Zuckerberg. You don't miss it.
Yeah, I mean, my thing is that I never had much trust in general in mass and whiteness. But you know, if I've seen the actions of somebody and they seem straight, I'm just like, okay, so like you, like as much as we're like 53% of y'all did this and this, it's like, okay, well some of y'all voted.
Cool, right.
Yeah, I know y'all niggas. Y'all just ain't got no power. Right. But
I think friend Drew at the door nowadays, to be perfectly honest.
You checking Drew? Are you stopping frisking Drew? Like, hold up, man, before you come in. Yeah,
yes, I'm not sure. I gotta really make sure.
Let me check for bugs. you might be the feds now. I don't know. Yeah.
Everybody. Yes.
Yeah, I think. I don't know. I think just I didn't feel the since I maybe because I didn't. I think because I wasn't shocked. I don't have the distrust, although I have been making a lot of jokes to white people I know about them voting for Trump. So, but I just don't. It's like, yeah, it's gotta suck because it's gotta be like how women view men, where it's just kind of like, of course you ain't shit. You know what I mean? Like that's how I was looking at people. Like, you know.
I wasn't surprised. I knew this outcome. I went to bed not even knowing. I knew it weeks ago. In fact, when Brexit happened, I told Drew. Mm. I said, "Oh, Trump's gonna win." I literally said to him, "He's like, no." Nah. I'm like, "No, for real." We've had this conversation. You know, just mentioned we've been married 15 years. We've been together 18 years, and since we started dating, Drew would say shit to me like, "You know, what percentage of white people do you think are racist?" And I would be like, 99.2%. And he'd be like, no, he started off being like, no, most of us are cool. And then he was like, you know what? Most of us are not cool. Most of us suck, but we're ignorant. And then he was like, wait a minute. We're not ignorant. We're just fucking racist. And now, like, this was like the final nail for him where he woke up in the morning, like, I don't know what to do. All the white people are horrible. And I was like, welcome to my reality. And so it's been interesting watching that. And actually, that was the thing I was happiest about being away from the country. That first wave of like ignorant ass white people trying to be like, I don't know how this happened. I don't know what to do. What this isn't my country. Where the fuck have you been? Yes, it is.
Yeah.
One. Like, for real, it really is. None of this should shock any of you. And the fact that it is shocking to you is a downright insult to those of us that literally have been screaming about this shit for decades. Like, for real. So, yeah.
Well, you know, also the thing that's funny is it was harder for me to imagine black people being shocked, because if you talk about race or anything, you get so much pushback from all kinds of regular white people, like, mm-hmm. not even some old, like, it's the alt-right and it's this and it's that. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's just like a buddy you had from work and you're like, whoa, that's really racist of him to say that. So I don't know, I found it less shocking or whatever, but you know, I mean the people that have put in the work that are white people, hopefully they just continue to put in whatever work they have, and because obviously I'd rather them do that shit than not, and it really shouldn't be our job. But
it's not my job,
right? You know, Zuckerberg is one of those people that has, I think, put his foot in the shit. He put his foot in the shit, but he hasn't really like put both feet in the shit, you know. Right. Like, he's picked some things like, I want to get rid of disease and shit that everyone should all agree on, like, yeah, it would be cool if we didn't have disease. You know, but I think the Black Lives Matter thing was a big thing, to tell his employees and be like, hey, do not fucking deface this wall or any with your bullshit. But he also, had been confronted by a lot of people because they were saying, well, these fake news sites, which because of the way Facebook is curated now, if you're kind of in, you know, on the Democratic side, the liberal side, you probably don't see very many of these. Mm-mm. Just because it really does curate, like, if your friend posts this, they just don't put it on your wall. Like, for a while, they were experimenting with an algorithm that did put it on your wall. So your racist friend posts some shit, you see that first. You log in and you see that, and people complain because they're like, what the fuck is this shit, man? Right. Like, this isn't the experience I want to have when I want to see what my grandma ate and took a picture of. Like, I don't want to see this shit. So they stopped doing it and instead did the exact opposite, which is, hey, you probably won't like this, so let's just keep it away from you. And in doing so, you also end up gravitating more and more towards, and let's be honest, Republicans are the most likely people to be fooled by this shit. Mm-hmm. But you gravitate more and more towards that shit, so you end up with these completely fake, non-factual news articles, and people were sharing them like they were the truth. And I think Facebook feels a responsibility in it that they were really shirking this whole time. Like, it can't be that bad if this is what people want to share. How many people can it possibly be?
Mm-hmm. It was millions, dog.
Right. When they started curating, I remember there was a last year or maybe this year, they started curating some of these articles being like, hey, we're going to take down these articles. And they got a pushback from conservatives saying, you guys are picking sides and like stifling my First Amendment rights on your platform, you know?
A free fucking platform. This is their shit. They can do what they want to. You don't have to be here.
What is that? Like, we want to be as dumb as possible. So please stop trying to make us not dumb.
Right.
It's so insane to think of that being something that you argue for.
Yeah. So, and I think also at the head of these companies, as long as it's like white dudes,
right,
the idea of taking hate speech and taking fake news and all this shit off of their site is gonna always bother them, because they're gonna feel like they're losing something rather than creating a space where people can kind of flourish. They're gonna feel like, well, now people are losing the right to say fuck these niggers, you know? That's how they view that. Like, they don't view it as, well, now this space is cool for everyone. Instead, but these people are losing things. And I mean, if we're going to let black people say these crackers is tripping, why shouldn't we let these other people say racist things to them? And that's kind of where you end up. Cause their sense of fairness is all skewed and all fucked up because, you know, for the most part, these are rich white dudes, rich straight white dudes who are even having these platforms. At any rate, he put a post on Facebook and he said, historically, we have relied on our community to help us understand what is fake and what is not. Anyone on Facebook can report any link as false. And we use signals from those reports, along with a number of others, like people sharing links to myth busting sites such as Snopes, to understand which stories we can confidently classify as misinformation. Similar to clickbait, spam, and scams, we penalize this content in the news feed so it's much less likely to spread. What's interesting about that is I've seen this happen to things that aren't spam, but they're just black.
Right.
Like The Root, Aisha had a piece that was, it was just something like, don't let your president get your ass whooped. Like, it was like two all white people. Don't let your president get your ass whooped. And it was like a whole piece, right? They were blocking it. They wouldn't let her post it. Like, it was blocking The Root, that specific article. It was deleting it. You would, make the post, it would delete it. People were reporting it, as like violating the rules and shit. Because there are very fragile white people that hear that shit and go, this is the same as the KKK threatening violence, you know? Mm-hmm. So
they have, yeah, all these triggers in there. So like, it doesn't matter whether the report is good or not good. Once a certain number of them come in, it goes on lockdown without, exactly, any actual assessment at all. Mm-hmm. So what they're able to do is like swarm people and get them banned, which I'm not kidding you. Like, so many black women and black men on Facebook that I know, they have alternate accounts because they know that, you know, in a week or so, they're going to put up a post that white people aren't going to like, and they're going to get banned for 24 hours, for 48 hours, for whatever. Mm-hmm.
It's essentially become, if enough people don't like it, that's the trigger.
Right.
As opposed to this site posted something false or this site posted something racist. It's simply enough people didn't like this thing and that's enough to get you out. So people can organize harassment of people now.
Right. And my problem is that when it comes to Facebook, a lot of it's fucking laziness. It's goddamn laziness. Instead of having somebody and paying people to actually comb, to actually read, use logic, use critical thinking skills, they'll say, well, we'll let the masses do it. The masses is fucking dumb. Okay?
It's not just lazy though. They had a group that did this. And they ended up firing them because of that thing I told you about where, conservatives were attacking Facebook and saying, you guys are biased and you're stifling our right to free speech. And so they were like, well, we're just going to fire the team and we're just going to use a computer algorithm. Yeah. And now we're here. You know, like I said, so white people feel like they're losing something when they lose the right to do this. Perfect example. Our Facebook group, right? Our Facebook group. Mm-hmm. Whenever a dude says some real fuck, like, well, that's why that bitch needs to do so-and-so, right? And the women in the group and some of the men in the group will be like, hey, what the fuck are you saying? That's fucked up, da-da-da-da. They immediately, like, I ain't know I was talking to a bunch of lesbians and idiots and shit, like, and the PC mommy. And you're like, oh, you think you're losing something? Because we want to make a space where people can come and enjoy themselves. Right. Like, you feel like, but my enjoyment is fucking with y'all, talking bad about you. That, like, it's that mentality that is truly the enemy of, like, a Facebook, a Twitter, or whatever. But I don't think they see it that way. But something about this election shook it up for Zuckerberg and then to make them be like, oh, I guess that can have consequences of allowing people to just flourish with this fucking lies.
Oh shit. And that's what happened when you just dose some keywords into a fucking computer. The computer can't tell the difference, and the computer just said it's 800, fuck it, you out.
Right, not to mention it's an economy, right? I mean, I got a fake news place, I got ads on it, you know. like y'all are helping somebody get rich off of just trolling, basically. There are ways that they're gonna improve it, according to them. Stronger detection. The most important thing we can do is improve our ability to classify misinformation. This means better technical systems to detect what people will flag as false before they do it themselves. Easy reporting, making it much easier for people to report stories as fake, will help us catch more misinformation faster. Third-party verification. There are many respected fact-checking organizations, and while we have reached out to some, we plan to learn from many more. Warnings. We're exploring labeling stories that have been flagged as false by third parties or our community and showing warnings when people read or share them. Related articles quality. We are raising the bar for stories that appear in related articles under links and news feeds. So yeah, that's another thing. You post a fake link, you know, President Obama gives abortions at the White House, and right underneath it are like, is Michelle Obama a primate?
Yes.
You know,
you get five of them.
Yeah, Joe Biden spotted in gay club. And it's like, oh, it's just all this shit is fake. And then because this one was fake, you just recommended a bunch of more fake shit.
Right.
So it's just a big ass, like, rabbit hole of fakeness that motherfuckers are just spreading around like it's all good. You know, so yeah, it's terrible. And lastly, disrupting fake news economics. A lot of misinformation is driven by financially motivated spam. We're looking into disrupting the economics with ad policies like the one we announced earlier this week and better ad farm detection. That one is actually the one that I like, because a lot of people have these articles with very, very salacious titles simply because most people are going to just hit share. And I've seen that shit happen to people that it's not even about being conservative or liberal or any of that. It's just, oh, this is such a wild article, I'm not gonna click to see if it's true, I'm just gonna share it.
Right.
Or it's like something that they want to be true, right? So it'll be something that's like, no matter which side you're on, there would be, I don't even like to say the sides, but whichever your political leanings are, if it's something that sounds really good for you, then you'll be more inclined to share regardless of its
variety. Yeah, it'll, even if it's just like, stripper makes baby twerk on pole, and you're like,
can't be true.
You're like, why are y'all sharing this? Why didn't you click on that to see that it was from fakenews.com?
That's one of those across the board things everybody wants to be true. So right. That one.
Right. Let's see what else is happening. AMC is considering charging more money for popular tentpole films.
I'm gonna say one thing about AMC.
Mm-hmm.
I can't be mad at them because they put those recliners in and didn't raise the price at all. So I kind of feel like I could see it on one hand because it didn't make no damn sense to me how a seat that was nasty and like cloth one week and the next week with a leather recliner was the same price to me.
Yeah, so, I fuck with AMC. I guess it's not universal. Like some places, their AMCs don't have that. Cause I saw an article where they were like, well, if they want me to pay for this, they better be like my other theater that's got reclining seats. I was like, mine does. So I'll be going.
I think most of them
AMC still. Wait a minute. I didn't know about this.
Yeah, I guess it's not every AMC yet.
Yeah, because I know they started like on the West Coast and kind of made their way to the East Coast, where they were slowly remodeling them. I don't know if all of them are remodeled yet, because you know it's a lot of fucking
AMCs. I'm assuming not, because the person who wrote this article said that they didn't want to spend more for a movie if because their AMC isn't like their other theater in their town that has reclining seats.
Okay,
so.
But I'm gonna tell you one thing. I love AMC, particularly the assigned seats, and I am very particular about my assigned seats. Me, Roger, and Layla went to the movies, and somebody was sitting in our assigned seats, and they looked up at us and wouldn't move. So you know what we did? We got the man who got paid, and he made their asses move.
Yep. I also like their rewards program. It's really good too.
It's worth every dime. Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, I love their VIP rewards because I don't have to wait in line.
Yeah, for popcorn, they be like, VIP right here. I be like, yep.
People be looking so salty.
Yeah, people looking so mad when they be over there. I be like, well, you better pay the $12 a dollar a month than for to be able to jump everybody else in line to buy your popcorn so you won't be late.
Yeah, I'm like, you as salty as my popcorn about to be, dog.
A racist incident using my VIP rewards here in Michigan, of course, because I got there, you know, Drew's a dude, he has to use the bathroom like 30 times before you go to the fucking movies. I don't know what that's about, dudes, but whatever. And we got there and I was like, I'll just go order our stuff, whatever. He goes to the bathroom, standing there at the front of the line to be next in the, you know, the VIP line, so I can skip ahead of all the riffraff,
right?
And literally three of the people looked at me and gave me this like, oh, she can't be VIP, and like took the person from the regular line. And I was literally like, I'm just trying to see this movie. I don't want to go off in this theater right now. I'm really not trying to even do that. So while I'm deciding how, you know, crunk I'm about to get, Drew rolls up, and I shit you not, as soon as he stepped to the line, there was like, next, immediately.
Wow.
I was like, you better order. I'm going to go sit down. I need to breathe for a little bit because I really don't want to mess up my movie. I'm just trying to get some R&R in here.
VIP checking. Ain't that some shit?
Motherfucker.
You think I don't got the $12 a year, dog?
I mean,
I got
that's
it.
All it is, $12.
I got it. I feel like people just don't.
Popcorn upgrade.
I feel like, you know, we go to the movies a lot, but I feel like a lot of people just don't know how inexpensive it is. Like, it's better to do
right.
It one
they time. Was like, it ain't free. No, it ain't free, dog.
Yeah, no, not expensive, how inexpensive it is. I think, okay, if they knew it didn't cost that much, they'd be like, well, let me just do that shit and never wait in this fucking long ass line again, right, hoping that y'all speed up so I don't miss the previews.
Oh no, you get the upgrades for free. I mean, it definitely, and you get money back as you spend money, so
right.
I mean, it is 6 visits to even make the $12 up, if not more so.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, oh, go ahead.
I was just saying, I think there's like a day where you get discounted pricing too.
Yeah, you get like free popcorn, you get discounted movie tickets, just a bunch of shit, man. But yeah, I think it's it'll be an interesting experiment to see if people pay more for the big movies. I also want to know what that means for the little movies. Like, can I go see that shit cheaper now? Cause, if so, I might be okay with that. Like, I was gonna see X-Men anyway or whatever the fuck. But, you know, if Madea costs $5 less, let's do it, you know, or whatever, you know, if, whatever movie, Queen of Cotway costs less, then all right.
Now what's going on in your home state? This douchebag won't concede. What happened?
Pat McCrory.
Motherfucker's fighting to the end.
He essentially lost, but he lost by less than 5,000 votes. So now he's, you know, basically challenging every county's count of votes, and basically lying, saying that the handwriting on some of these absentee ballots is very similar to the other ones, just refusing to take the L. It's probably gonna go to court. So yeah, that's basically what's happening.
Stay. Everybody else got their people and are like, come on, we ready for the, you know, for the new session. And they like, nah, not North Carolina.
Yeah, he's been declared the loser already. Twice now, actually. He's been declared the loser twice, and he just won't take the L, you know, through the power of whiteness. He is just
amazing.
He's just out here like, possession is 9/10 of the law, man. I'm not giving this up.
I mean, we might have,
that one that says, I want the confidence of a mediocre white man. Mm-hmm. That's what this shit is right here.
Yes, it is. Cause we might have, went to Trump, like, overall the state, but like, that right there, he cost a lot of people a lot of money. They was like, we can't be having the NCAA leave and, you know, the football, ACC football and shit like that. They was like, bitch, you got to go.
Yeah, PayPal. He lost a lot of money. Like, I think it's like 4-point-something billion. Our state is lost in our economy just because of the transphobic law that he passed. And, you know, it also banks on things returning, like the NCAA, the CIAA tournament, the, there was one more thing. The All-Star game.
Yeah, a lot of stuff ain't coming back. They've already said we out.
Well, the things I'm saying is coming back, okay. Are coming back. So I'm saying there's an incentive to have him out of office beyond just the damage he's done, but the damage that will continue to be done if he is continued to be our governor. So he has to fucking go. He just refused to accept the results.
Right. And if anything else, this should be an example for other states. Don't fucking pass these bigoted ass laws. Just be bigoted. You ain't got to pass laws.
Well, that's another reason we need him to lose, is that I think essentially if he wins, it's a message to a lot of other states to pass these laws.
Right.
Like,
that's why he fights.
Nothing will happen to you as a politician. You'll continue to win. So, all right. Cal Norman, who is a member of Jagged Edge, apparently got drunk and out of control and tried to stab his own son, and he had to be restrained from beating the crap out of his kid. Yep.
Ragged Edge now. Oh no.
Tried to give him Jagged Edge of that knife. Cops arrested Kyle Norman September 5th following the ugly 5 a.m. fracas at his Georgia home, where his wife told police she didn't feel safe around him and admitted he laid hands on her before. Man, these dudes stay popping up in some shit, man. These old R&B people. The singer was arrested for domestic violence, battery, cruelty to children, and third-degree property damage and obstruction. And they were just trying to make a comeback, too.
Right.
Norman's wife, Marika, called cops early in the morning and said she'd been awakened by scuffling in the next room. She found Norman pummeling his son, Keelan, and a family cousin trying to break it up. The cousin put Norman in a sleeper hold. Keelan ran out of the room, but an enraged Norman followed his son and continued the alleged assault.
The sleeper hold didn't work then, did it?
No. Mm-mm. That's what they don't tell you. If it's a sleeper hold, but... What'd you say?
All the people riding his house at 5 a.m. That the cousin, the boyfriend, the son, everybody was there at 5 a.m.
Yeah, 5 a.m, man. It was lit. Wow. So yeah, he was still irate. He followed his son downstairs to the living room. While approaching his son, he punched a hole in the wall. The pair started fighting again, and in the process, he shattered a glass mirror. The son managed to get away from his father, but Norman wouldn't let it go and grabbed the knife in an attempt to stab his son. And it's not clear how old his son is. Mm-mm. His daughter told police she was so terrified by her father's alleged assault that she ran into a closet to hide. Keelan, the son, and his father spent the night boozing and speaking recklessly to everyone in the house. What? When the son challenged his father's threatening behavior, telling him he can't be talking to a grown ass people the way he does, Norman started swinging. Well, yeah, listen. You do not do that to a black man. I don't.
Old man strength is real. I don't think people really understand it. Think about old man strength. A lot of people don't realize they ain't got no rules. Like, you know, younger people have like rules and shit like that. Old people are like, nah, I will fuck you up. And I've been around long enough to fuck you up in ways that you didn't know you could get fucked up, boy.
Yeah. And, I remember he was just on Steve Harvey about putting his hands on his wife.
That dude. Mm-hmm. Okay, I know exactly what you're talking about now. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, Steve enabling ass Harvey was like, you know, well, I'm sure he won't do it again because he just said he won't in an audience full of people that were clapping. But apparently that therapy session didn't work. So yeah, it's kind of interesting that it's already come back up, man. Hopefully they can get the fuck away from him because it sounds habitual. Yes, at sir. The least. Mm-hmm. And dysfunctional as well. So, you know, I'm sure she's thinking, you know, why did I get married to this fool? But I guess don't want to be the person to make those jokes, but I guess I gotta be. Somebody's gotta be. 5 a.m, I guess that's where the party was at. That's why everybody was there. Mm-hmm. To see what was happening. Mm-hmm. All right.
The chat room said this sounds like a scene from a Five Heartbeats.
it does. In more news, apparently there's a crisis of alpha males, guys. All right. Sexist men who see themselves as players are more likely to be lonely and depressed. I know it's an epidemic. Men who see themselves as playboys or having power over women are more likely to have serious psychological problems. This is according to new research, which has also found that alpha males who express masculine behaviors are less likely to seek treatment for their problems. You don't say. The study looked at 11 traits in particular that were linked to loneliness and depression. The 11 masculine norms included violence, a need for emotional control, and sexual promiscuity or playboy behavior. These norms in particular were found most likely to lead to poor mental health, self-reliance, pursuit of playboy behavior, and power over women. Overall, conforming to any of those norms was found to increase men's likelihood of poor mental health. The Indiana University Bloomington team combined research from over 78 psychological studies to reach this conclusion. In general, individuals who conform strongly to masculine norms tended to have poor mental health and less favorable attitudes towards seeking psychological help, although the results differed depending on the specific types of masculine norms, said lead author Dr. Y. Joe Wong.
First of all, they could have literally just looked at Sierra's timeline and figured this whole thing out. And didn't need
right. Just search her mentions and you'll be like, oh, okay. It's a lot of trash. Oh,
you're a fuck boy. You have problems mentally. No surprise there. Like I'm just these fucking studies. Water's wet. The sun comes up in the east, whatever. Don't make no sense to me.
Yep. They only found one norm that had no link to mental health. Primacy of work was not significantly associated with any of the mental health related outcomes. Perhaps this is a reflection of the complexity of work and its implications for well-being. An excessive focus on work can be harmful to one's health and interpersonal relationships, but work is also a source of meaning for many individuals. Dr. Wong and colleagues studies collected information from over 19,000 participants and spanned 78 psychological pieces of research. That's a lot of research compared to a lot of the shit we
read.
But
that's how you do your research. A lot of times when you, they be like, we did 20 people, you don't get the fuck out of here.
Right, yeah.
Like no research.
It's always something like, people that burn candles are pedophiles. We did research of one person. We asked one person to take a test. I'm like, wait a minute.
This is not research, dog.
Lead author Dr. Wong said the masculine norms of playboy and power over women are the norms that most closely associated with sexist attitudes. The robust association between conformity. I know, right? The robust association between conformity to these two norms and negative mental health related outcomes underscore the idea that sexism is not merely a social injustice, but may also have detrimental effects on the mental health of those who embrace such attitudes. Yeah, I mean, seems obvious. But anyway, now there's a study.
So now it's real. It wasn't real before the study.
Mm-hmm. Leslie, what were you saying?
I'm just saying, thank God we had that study. Thank goodness.
Mm-hmm. Someone got thousands of dollars in grants.
Right.
To do that.
None of them black, I assure you. Let me put that out there, too. Mm-hmm.
True. Chipotle is getting sued, y'all.
Uh-oh.
You know, before you go on that, Rod, mm-hmm. you know how fucking Facebook does these memories things now where it's like, oh, memories, whatever.
Yeah.
So, yeah, one of my memories was me sharing a story about Chipotle's, you know, health department issues. And mm-hmm. I had tagged Karen. I was like, Karen is spreading.
I remember that, yes.
And my first thought when I saw this memory was like, man, remember a year ago when that's what we were talking about all the time? Fucking Chipotle was... The craziest shit that happened that day was that somebody else got listeria at Chipotle or Salmonella, whatever the fuck was going on.
Yep.
That was the good days. We didn't know it then. We was like, oh, 2015, you not that great. And then this bullshit ass year started.
Yeah. You know what's funny is, we could be looking back next year and it could be, man, remember when the worst thing was Donald Trump winning?
Yeah. Now when I go outside, I can't breathe because they got rid of the EPA.
Right.
What the fuck?
Before the radiation storms, remember that?
Yeah. Remember when you didn't have to wrap your kid up in a suit?
Oh, well, baby, let me go to work.
Remember when there weren't border crossings in Texas? Like, literally.
Baby, can you hand me my cotton picking shoes? I gotta go to work.
Oh, yes!
Anyway, back to slavery. Chipotle is being sued for faking their burrito calorie count.
It's a goddamn burrito. Is that calorie free?
Well, I mean, you can still fake the number though, Karen. Apparently, My News LA reports that the quick service restaurant company is getting sued yet again. This time, it's for allegedly lying to customers about their burrito calorie count. After multiple customers took a photo of Chipotle's store menu, they pointed out something a little peculiar about one of the items offered. Apparently, the chorizo burrito, which is new. Mm-hmm. Someone had a calorie count up next to it that said 300 calories. Mm. If you know anything about burrito calories, that's fucking impossible.
No. If you're getting a burrito, unless it's a tofu burrito, you eating over a few thousand calories.
It doesn't matter if it's a tofu burrito. Like, literally, the wrap is 300 calories. There's no way the number adds up right.
I mean, no, I'm not saying 300 calories, but, you know, you're not going to get no as many calories, but yeah, it's a burrito. Like I said, the wrap is 4 or 5, then you got a cheese, the salsa, the meat, the lettuce, like everything is another few hundred calories. Yeah, you're talking about a few thousand calories probably in one sitting.
Yeah, so apparently it's actually 950 calories.
That makes sense.
Which is more than three times the amount displayed. The spokesperson said what that 300 was supposed to represent was just the chorizo filling. But the way it's pictured, it looks like it's the whole burrito. But they're getting sued now, so we'll see.
And is that because a lot of these states pass those laws where it's like you have to have the calorie count up there? Because I know some places they don't give a fuck.
Yeah. That's got to be it, right? That's got to be it because you had the calorie count laws because they wouldn't post that information if they didn't have to.
Right.
Let's see. Twitter is launching new tools to fight harassment.
Again.
Hey, man. They tried to sell that shit and it did not go well. So
I was like, we're not buying that shit and y'all harassing everybody. Nope.
Look, money will always make a motherfucker come around.
And
that's
clean
all.
Up shit, yeah, it will. I mean, I'm glad they are, but, you know, they lost money. And they was like, oh, we might need to clean up shit. Not the people that's been coming to us for years, telling us to fix this, telling us to filter, talking about they being harassed. It took a few famous people and it took a few high profile famous people because people have been leaving, but it took a lot of high profile famous people that some people log in just to see these people post. And when they left, it was like, okay, now you got billions of people that like don't got nobody to follow all of a sudden. Cause you know, some people get on Twitter, you know, they follow celebrities, like this is their thing. And all of a sudden, you know, they're not interacting and they're gone. And they was like, people was like, hey, I'm not buying this to deal with these problems. I'm not cleaning it up. You know, when I buy something, I don't want to have to fix it. I want it to be already there.
Yeah, I don't think it was. I think it was the latter, not the former. I don't think it had anything to do with people quitting their platform.
Okay.
I think it was the money. Because that quitting the platform should have been happening for years. It was, we tried to sell it and motherfuckers was like, we not paying that much for it. And then they had to go, oh, well, maybe this harassment shit was a problem because the people who were trying to buy it, they cited that they backed out specifically because people with a lot of followers talked about experiencing a lot of harassment. And so that's not really a steady, you know, it's not a commodity you can bank on, you know?
This came out, I remember saying, like, once again, we see supremacy not making any goddamn sense, right? Because we had people of color, women, consistently saying this was a problem for so long with them being completely ignored. And now, here it is, monetarily biting them in the ass because they didn't care about it then.
Yeah, I remember saying, like, well, that's going to fuck up the money if y'all don't take care of the harassment. And many, many, many people made the same fucking observation, like, but how the fuck are y'all gonna make money off of this? Like, you openly let people be harassed under some First Amendment right shit, and you don't clean it up, and you really don't think you have a problem, you know? Mm-mm. Many of their people that are, like, in charge
don't know how that shit even works.
That's not what I was gonna say, though, but many of them that are in charge, they don't even have a lot of followers.
No.
So they don't even understand the experience of having a lot of followers. I don't expect most people to understand what it's like when you don't have a lot of followers,
right?
Most people won't have to worry about that because they're not gonna have a lot. Mm-mm. But the platform people should know, because you made the platform, so you should be in tune with, these are my power users, what is their experience like? Oh, it's a lot of negative shit. How do we fix that? And now they have to
and it depends, because you know what, it somebody might buy, but to an extent it literally might be too late, because a lot of people, you know, because once people walk away, you're gonna have to make a significant change to bring these people back.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I don't think it's about people walking away as much as it's about selling it. Like,
right.
I don't think they're like, we can't sell it if Leslie Jones quits. I don't think that's the problem. Advertisers are just looking at the bottom line of money. That's it, you know. Like, there's no one user that brings all the money to Twitter, but it's collective. Because here's the most insidious part. The harassers may be what Twitter is. That's why they were always afraid to get rid of them. That's a significant number of accounts, and it must be.
Yeah. Yeah.
It must be, because they won't get rid of, they haven't gotten rid of them yet. And when you look at things like Reddit, you know, Reddit basically makes a living off of the trolling and the kind of anonymity of these people, you know. Mm-hmm. So there's that subculture of Twitter that is, might be the main culture of Twitter.
Mm. Yeah, for sure, the main culture of Twitter. And then there's also them not wanting to get rid of how many fake accounts they're gonna have to get rid of to do these kinds of purging, because so many of these accounts, you'll go, like, I know when I get trolled, when I get death threats and, you know, shit like that, it's always like some asshole with an eagle Avi and four followers, like, mm-hmm. literally it's always like that, like they just created their profile and this boosts their numbers. So when they say how many people have accounts, it's going to be a lot of numbers that are going to be pulled out of that number, and they use that to even just monetize their reach, not just in selling it but also in advertising and lots of other metrics that they use those numbers for. So it's a big thing they're going to have to do
that, and that's exactly what I think they were banking on, was we can tell people we have over 600 million accounts or whatever the fuck. And now it's like, yeah, but how much of it is just spam and just, right. just harassers and people with 17 accounts so they can call somebody a bitch every morning? Like, at what point do we cut that off? Because now I want to see your numbers when you kind of adjust for the drift. And now they're like, we can't sell this shit. We don't want to buy it anymore.
Right. You probably lost a few million accounts. I guarantee you. You know, let's say they had 10 by the time you dwindle down and shift and go through, they doesn't know how many real accounts. It was like, oh yeah, out of the 10, we probably got 5 to 6. They was like, well, goddamn.
Well, there's a new feature that appears as a button in the reporting flow. Instead of saying something is abusive or harassing, it lets you mark tweets as hateful. Harvey said the new tool will improve how Twitter deals with reports from those who are not involved in the incident of harassment. Yeah, because right now it's like you report this person is harassing me. They said this, they said that. And, you know, I know back in the past when I would report shit, typically nothing would happen.
Right.
Lately, if I report somebody for harassing me, I'll get an email later like, hey, this person has been kicked off of the site or whatever. But that's typically hours to a day later. Which, I mean, I don't know what kind of manpower it would take to completely.
Right.
I think they've let it get so out of control that it's beyond the idea of an instant, like, oh yeah, that person called you a nigger, they're gone. Mm-hmm. But still, I mean, it's better than what the fuck they had, which was nothing. Ooh. Essentially. because hate speech varies in language, culture, and context, Twitter trained its global support teams about its historical and cultural implications of it. For instance, Twitter employees learn common tropes and phrases associated with anti-Semitism and slang terms that are used to reference refugees or migrants, Harvey said. Anyone at Twitter who works on safety issues or handles support completed the training. Twitter declined to give exact numbers on how many people deal with harassment reports, but a spokeswoman said there are people working on it around the clock. Humans review each issue and decide whether or not it's abusive. So yeah, we'll see what happens, man. Because somebody should probably get Trump's account off of that.
Come on. like that's on the real. That's on the real. And also the thing is, how diverse are these quote unquote humans? Because what's the point in having humans when there's no diversity in this human group? So people can't be like, oh, that's really okay for this culture, or that's all right for this culture, because if it's still in a white person's lens, is this going to matter?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the answer is no.
Right.
But I don't know. I say that, but I don't know who the fuck is working on this. it's funny, man. It's just like black people are the canary in the coal mine, dog. It was just like, we are so ahead of where it's just like, hey, man, this shit seems problematic. And then it's like, fuck you. Get over it, pussies. Oh, we can't sell our company for billions of dollars. Huh.
That's what's me off the most about this fucking election has been like that we all were just kind of like, and like, yeah, tell us something we don't know.
Yeah,
it's like being like, you know, that Greek mythology Cassandra, where she could see into the future but don't nobody listen to her. That's what it's like to be a black person in America. Yeah. You're just like walking around like, this shit is really fucked up. It's going to be really terrible. Charter schools suck and it's going to be terrible for education. Shut up, black people. Don't nobody care about that shit. It's like over and over and over again. This is like consistent, just being ignored, even though it would have benefited these motherfuckers to just listen to us. Ugh.
We're like the Jack Bauer of
yes!
Like just, we're trying to tell you what's going to happen. And everybody's just like, ignore him.
Yeah, because at the end of the day, I ain't trying to be funny. Shit affects us at more, and it affects us quicker. So we see the shit because we don't have the privilege of ignoring shit. We go, oh, somebody might die. Somebody might lose their life. Like, we can immediately figure shit out when it's like, nah, we ain't got to pay attention to it. It affects us.
Yeah.
Which might be a year and a half or 2 years later, or when you try to sell your shit.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Too bad.
I don't feel bad for them at all. In fact, I hope, and then maybe this might sound cruel, I hope you get to the point where you keep evolving and keep doing this, because you can't sell the shit. The site would actually be better.
Let's talk about something cool, guys. All right, something a little happier. 10 of the most loved condiments around the world. That's right.
I'm about to say, are we guessing or?
No, okay. I'm going to read them.
Oh, okay, my bad.
I was about to guess.
Oh, mayonnaise, Dijon mustard,
mayonnaise, ketchup.
Come on, guys.
Excuse me. Grand Poupon.
This is very serious work. We are doing very serious work here. Giving people the news.
Well, it depends on who your list is. Black could be like grape jelly.
What's paste?
Oh, what is that? Worcestershire sauce, the shit I can't pronounce.
We're never gonna get out of this segment. This is my fault.
That's what I call it. Worcestershire sauce. What the hell that is?
I really should have waited till we had a different guest. It's the wrong day to do this. All right. So the first one is called harissa.
What the hell is that?
And it's for Tunisia and North Africa. I may pronounce some of these wrong out there in podcast land. I'm sorry.
Oh, well, my spice game must not be woke, Dean. I have no idea.
Good. It's like smoky and sweet. It's an Ethiopian food too. It's really good.
Okay. Yeah, it's a condiment, Karen. Not a spice. It's
condiment like ketchup.
That's what. Yes, ketchup is a condiment, Karen. That is correct.
I'm like, you dip shit in it.
When the Spanish rot chili peppers, I'm not gonna make it through our 10 of these. I can already tell. We're not gonna be able to do this.
No.
I had to do this with Justin sometime. When the Spanish brought chili peppers into the 16th century Tunisia, they couldn't have possibly known they were becoming part of condiment history. Though the taste evolves as you move through North Africa, this chili paste always has an undeniable kick and consistency and it also serves as the primary flavor within Merguez, a North African lamb sausage. North African lamb sausage.
They say a sauce, but so it's a paste that you make into a sauce?
The picture is literally on the screen. What flavor you want to take home to your mother, harissa is a staple of any meal. Japan, wasabi.
I said wasabi. I win.
There you go. If you said wasabi, you got it right.
I know one thing about wasabi. You can smell everything. I hit some wasabi. I was like, shit, I can smell the flesh on this goddamn table. My nose just was like, breathe, bitch. I was like, okay.
Dating back to the 10th century, the wasabi plant has spiced up Japanese cuisine. The plant requires cold, fresh water with a balance of minerals in order to thrive, making its production very rare. Wasabi, most of the wasabi you've had in America is not wasabi.
Oh, it ain't. I don't know. And some of them look like flowers. They're either pink or green.
Yeah, it's not. I think you're referring. Hold on, wait. You're referring to ginger.
Oh,
that looks like the flowers.
Oh,
wasabi is the wasabi is the green paste, like what is pictured on the screen.
Ah, okay. I just be eating. I don't know.
At any rate, the popularity grew beyond Japan. Japan brought about many alternative condiments, which are primarily made of horseradish or green food dye. So that's mostly what people have had, horseradish with green food dye type wasabi substitutes.
So we get imitation.
Mm-hmm. Authentic wasabi spoils within 15 minutes of preparation, which led to the tradition of serving it beneath sushi in order to preserve its flavor.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we got a time frame. They were like, shit, get this out. You better eat quick.
Mayonnaise.
Yuck. Racist.
in the United States. Cannot believe we didn't get Texas Pete. This is racist against black people. Y'all know ranch, you know. for many years.
They got Hellman's. They got mayo.
Mm-hmm. Miracle Whip would have been the black one, I guess.
Miracle Whip and Hellman's.
For many years, ketchup was the head honcho in the U.S. Over the past couple of years, however, Americans declared that mayo was the new sheriff in town. Whether due to a surge in deviled egg popularity or homemade sandwiches, mayonnaise spread throughout the country at an unusually high rate. Beginning in 2013, what? It took till 2013 for mayo to catch on? That can't be right.
Mm-mm. Y'all didn't ask no white people.
Count aiolis, because aiolis is mayonnaise, right?
Yeah.
So I'm wondering, like, because aioli, they had that in Italy and shit like that forever. And in Spain, too. So this don't make no sense.
Yeah. It ain't catch on to 2013.
I don't believe you. Mayonnaise been around for a lot of them goddamn jars every Sunday at the grocery store. I don't believe you.
The eggy sauce has its roots in France or Spain, depending on who you ask. But no one can find more uses for it than a Yankee. Banana sauce. This is from the Philippines.
Okay. I know I don't know what that is.
When the United States began influencing the Philippines in the mid-20th century, ketchup caught on quickly throughout the nation. During World War II, a tomato ketchup was a rare sight. Since tomatoes were scarce across the islands, banana sauce, aka banana ketchup, was invented.
Ooh, I bet you it's good.
Right?
I'm gonna get me some.
Write this down.
Is it spicy?
They got this on Amazon. Banana sauce. Banana sauce. Karen, I've never tried it. I don't know.
Okay. I know I'm about to be ignorant, so it's made out of real bananas.
It's made from bananas, yeah, instead of ketchup.
Ah.
Often dyed red to mimic the look of traditional ketchup, banana sauce sweetness easily sets it apart from tomato ketchup while still sharing many of its uses.
I bet you it is good because bananas are already sweet.
Go ahead. What'd you say, Leslie? I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
Really good on a burger.
Mm, right? Mm-hmm. With like some pineapple or something on the burger. Anyway, Vegemite. This is big in Australia.
This shit is nasty, y'all.
That sounds like a shot. Like a shot. Well, you can get a shot of Vegemite.
Leslie said she's had it and said it's nasty.
I believe you, baby. It sounds like a vitamin. What you gonna take a vitamin to my vitamin or veggie shot?
I was mad I ate it, I'll be honest.
Well, I'm sorry, guys. Apparently, the Brits initially had the stranglehold on this substance, so that makes sense. In a less salty spread called Marmite. 1923, however, Cyril Callister recreated the recipe from scratch with more sodium and vitamin B. The sticky breakfast condiment made the brewer's yeast cemented itself as uniquely as Australian as uniquely Australian when it became part of an army's ration during World War II. Army rations? Ugh. In 2015,
that must last forever then.
In 2015, Aussie started using Vegemite to create alcohol, prompting calls for the government to limit its sale. For some, a law probably isn't necessary. You know what's interesting though? This is the one condiment they didn't show like in preparation form. It's just a jar.
Probably might look disgusting.
Because it's made of brewer's yeast. So the yeast that's left over from the beer, that's what they use. They take the extract from that and they add some nasty ass spices to it and shit. It's gross. Honestly, you guys, it's really. Sorry to all the Aussies out there.
Really.
Serbia has Ajvar. It's called Serbian salsa. It's served throughout the Balkan nations as a relish or a side dish. Though, like the nations it's made in, Ajvar name changes every so often. The red pepper paste is always dependable, spread on a hot meat dish or as a cold appetizer. Ajvar will prove to your taste buds that it can wear many hats.
We'll have to see.
Ajvar. Chutney, India.
I heard of that.
Mm-hmm. For thousands of years, chutney has been an irreplaceable relish that sweetens or spices, depends on how it's made. Ancient holy men, Brahmins, discovered the preservative powers of spices and began to mix them with various fruits and vegetables. The British would eventually carry sweet chutneys to the UK. I think I had only had sweet chutneys until I started eating Indian food.
Is it thick?
The sweet chutney is, they're thick and sweet. Oh. I don't like them. They were nasty. But the Indian ones, they're not all thick. Some of them are like kind of thin and shit. It's good. You've had it before. If you went to that buffet with me, you've had it. You put it on your naan bread before. I know.
Okay.
They serve it with tandoori a lot too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like we have this Indian buffet and they got like all the chutneys at the end and you just put them joints on your food.
Ah, okay. I didn't realize that was chutney.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, of course, white people ruined it and made it sweet. as well as African and Caribbean territories where Indian chutneys remain complex in taste and texture. Hoisin sauce, China.
Just a little bit about chutney. There's a thing called chutney bacchanal, which is like a type of, like Caribbean, dance music, which is pretty funny. And there's a lot of Indian influence there. Also, I said hoisin. That's two for me.
Boom. Knocking it out the park, Leslie.
That's good info.
Yeah, it is good info. Fuh, I believe. Remember, we say it wrong because we're just ignorant Americans.
Fuh, be mad.
Okay, there you go. Do not write up here. Not to be confused with Vietnamese sriracha, hoisin sauce lends, those definitely do not taste the same. Who would put those on the same thing? Anyway, hoisin sauce lends a tangy glaze to any dish, especially essentially a Chinese, specifically Cantonese barbecue sauce. This condiment lies at the intersection of brown sauce and hot sauce. In fact, Peking ducks would feel underdressed without their healthy coat of hoisin sauce. Salsa. That's from Mexico.
I know this one, and salsa varies. I've had some fresh salsa that's good, and then I had some fresh salsa that's bad. I'm like, what the fuck did you put in the salsa?
Leslie, what did you say?
That salsa looks terrible in that picture.
Now, yeah, like salsa that looks like that a lot of times, it don't be good.
Yeah, it's that very dry, but maybe it's the authentic joint.
But I don't like it.
Together. I don't know.
Maybe that's how it's supposed to be.
Don't be seasoned enough. It be dry. It be crushed cilantro. You be like, no, I don't want none of this. I reject this.
All right. So as early as 3000 BC, the Aztecs mixed chilies with tomatillos. Over the millennia that followed, the recipes got only slightly more complicated, and the conquistadors eventually named this mixture salsa, the precursor to many modern hot sauces in America. Salsa's versatility in heat and consistency has given it a wide appeal.
Oh, de gallo to me. Doesn't even
that one does look like pico. Yeah. Although I have seen salsas that way. Like, I've been in restaurants where they're like, this is, you want some salsa? And I'm like, sure. Then they bring that out. I'm like, this must be authentic. I'm an ignorant American. Right. I don't know.
They be like, you want this on your burrito? I'd be like, no.
Brown sauce.
What the hell is this? A1?
The United Kingdom and Ireland. The popular brand may be HP, but brown sauce by any other name would be as delicious to dessert to serve with some fish and chips. Brown sauce can be sweet or tart, but mostly resembles American steak sauces, with a variety uses in many savory dishes. It's no wonder you'll likely find a bottle in any British home. And I think that's it. So we did it. We made it, guys. I'm actually shocked we were able to get that done.
I'm surprised too. And I but salsa, that's salsa and the hoisin sauce, that was it for me.
That you knew?
Yeah.
You didn't know mayonnaise?
I mean, mayo and wasabi.
Okay.
And hoisin.
Yeah, and hoisin. That was about it.
All right. Well, was
that 4 out of 10?
The harissa looked good, and that banana sauce looked.
Now the banana sauce, yeah, I tried that.
Those both seem interesting. Mm-hmm. Choices. Didn't see any ranch, so
no ranch, no blue cheese,
buffalo sauce for wings. Mm-hmm. I mean I feel like America kind of let everybody down.
Yeah, this was an American base, so yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's see what else we have to talk about.
I'm surprised Cholula would know now.
Cholula, yeah,
or,
I mean,
Sriracha.
Yeah. I mean, they had to pick one spice. They picked one condiment for every place. So,
okay.
If they had wasabi, they weren't gonna have sriracha. Probably, I guess. I don't know. Okay. Although all the sriracha I eat is made in like California. Mm-hmm. Like, do they even have that shit over there? Is that like they shit, or did we just like make that shit go with sushi because we in America?
I think they do, but we just have to have a plant here.
Mm. All right. My browser is freezing for some reason.
Uh-oh.
There we go. Wait, did that work? Yeah. All right, cool. All right, let's go to some games, guys, okay? I guess the first segment will be play a little bit of Fucking with Black People.
Just fucking with those black people. Just fucking with those blacks. We're just fucking with black people.
That's right, guys. It's time to play the game that we all hate to play. It's Fucking with Black People, the game where we go all around the globe and we find different articles that make us feel fucked with as black people, and we assign point scores from 0 to 100 in intervals of 25. Today's contestants, everybody. Mm-hmm. Let's see who's fucking with us today. Alt-right groups, an alt-right group, which basically means white supremacist group, plans on unleashing racist fake black person accounts after being banned from Twitter.
That makes sense. A lot of them already do that, but like, but I'm a black person. Bitch, you ain't. I'm reading your language. Don't know black people talk like that. Mm.
Apparently the site is the Daily Stormer, which has been making more and more news lately. Apparently they're gonna fight back with more racism. The Daily Stormer is an alt-right website that regularly features racist and anti-Semitic content, claims that it nearly has 1,000 fake black person Twitter accounts that it plans to use in an upcoming real life as opposed to online harassment campaign. Twitter has always faced criticism for allowing virulently racist and sexist content to be distributed on this platform. The company recently unveiled more of anti-trolling tools and shut down many accounts of prominent white supremacists. In response to Daily Stormer released a blog post this week saying that it plans to coordinate a harassment campaign that targets people in the real world. The trolling call to action begins as follows. We will introduce new ways of trolling, including in real life trolling, snail mailing trolling, telephone trolling, hoaxes, shoe company endorsements, etc. And look, shoe company endorsements?
What's happening here?
What?
I don't know.
Rod, you've been endorsed by New Balance. No! No, alt-right, you got me. Yeah. Oh, not the Daily Stormer. Jordache shoes, I would never.
You don't get them David Duke's pins.
Right. And look, we're not done with Twitter. We got a big campaign coming up. I like how they never take down like Twitter. Like they like, oh man, in a way, man, it's like the way the racists that we get to deal with are just such pussies compared to the ones we grew up scared of, you know. Like if you would have told me in 2016 this is the new racism was, we're gonna snail mail you and shit, I'd be like, what?
Ah, we're gonna snail mail you to death.
That was all they had left.
Right.
You know, I feel like the KKK of the 60s is looking at the new KK like, man, y'all
ain't real.
Y'all trash.
You y'all know? Y'all ain't turning one of hoes. What's happening here?
How many people y'all hang today? I mean, it was a busy day. I did manage to get blocked several times by black feminists on Twitter. So, I mean, that happened.
I've accomplished something.
It was a pretty busy day for me. What did y'all do today? We just strung up several innocent black people for walking down the street, then we bombed the church. Oh. Huh.
I might need to step my game up.
Well, I did get banned from Facebook. So, it's kind of like we both did something.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah. Anyway, I feel like we're all gonna know the accounts because it's gonna just be like, you know, angry black man 3 and
cause you know they don't know how, they ain't gonna name themselves nothing cool,
right? Jamal and mm-hmm.
and they're gonna be like, what up Holmes? She be like, come right, on, who talks like this, dog?
Man, I hate the honkies myself, you know.
Packers are the worst,
right? What it is, home slice. Oh no,
they're gonna be like, what they say, put them hands on you. No, right. you're not even using the phrase correctly.
0 to 100 though, Karen.
100.
Karen's going with 100. What about you, Leslie?
Definitely 100.
All right, I'm gonna go with 100 myself, just to even it on out, because it's sad that they already knew this is gonna happen and had the black accounts ready to go. It's gonna be hard to tell them apart from Sage Steele and Jason Whitlock, but we'll do our best.
And I wonder what their pick's gonna be. Generic white photo, generic black Photoshop dudes. They're gonna go and try to find the most clean cut dude they can find.
Probably.
Or either they go find the roughest pictures they can find.
They just gonna Google nigger.
And yeah, whatever come up.
Yeah, put that picture in there. It's not.
It's gonna be somebody's, with the shot you do when you get arrested.
Mugshot?
But they're they don't know anything about black culture, so I feel like they could easily pick like a famous person. So they'll be walking around, one of them will have Angela Bassett's
right.
picture as their
office. Right. You know that's Kanye West, right? I mean, I know you're not him. No, it's me, Jamel.
No, you're not Jamel.
All right, let me start session 2 and invite everybody back on screen. Give me 1 second, everyone. I'll be right back. All right.
Welcome. You were right.
Oh, that's your girl? No, like that's your girl, right?
What the fuck? Love Rookie. She give them all the cookies, but cookies on me pussy. This girl is kind of loosey. Dudes take her off the shelf and they put her on credit. 30 days later, they return it and regret it. Use like a dish rag, dump with a hashtag. I blame it on the pussy. That shit must be bad. Broken pussy. Broken pussy. Maybe it's dry as hell. Maybe it really smells. Broken pussy. Maybe it's really rough. Maybe it's had enough. Broken pussy. Nobody wants you cause you got a broken pussy. Nobody wants you cause you got a broken pussy. Broken pussy.
All right. Let's go to the next story. What else are white people doing to us? Oh, here's one. Steve Harvey.
Uh-oh, what happened?
He's being accused by an ex-employee of saying racist things.
Uh-oh.
Like spit on white people.
What? I don't believe this.
Mm-hmm. 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 Like a lot of successful people, Steve Harvey has had his share of haters. Oops, excuse me. We meant the funny man has his share of haters. And the latest one to come to light is trying to get $5 million out of him via a lawsuit for some allegedly racist comments that he made on tape.
Mm. If TMZ didn't break this, I don't believe you.
Radar Online. Hey, but I just thought, what if it's just Keenan? It's just Keenan as Steve Harvey saying racist shit. That's the perfect way to blackmail him. How can you if it's not him? Most of us think Keenan and him are the same people, at this point. Right. Oh, that would be so good. According to Radar Online, one of Harvey's former employees, Joseph Cooper, says he has videotaped footage of the talk show host going off on a racist tirade about white people, allegedly spewing comments like spit on white people and go assault old white women.
I'm here for it.
Hold on, what happened to Leslie? I thought I heard her and then not.
I'm here, but it was echo.
Oh, you hear the echo from us?
Now it's not there anymore.
Okay. All right. Well, go ahead. What were you saying though?
I was just saying I'm here for all that. Sure. Okay. Do
it. All right. Harvey, of course, doesn't waste time dealing with. Wait, here for which part? The lawsuit or his comments about spitting on the white people?
I'm all for all the comments he made. If he said them, this might be the one way to get me back on your good graces, Steve Harvey.
Yo, if we find out on the low Steve Harvey is mad racist against white people,
I will be shocked.
It undoes so much that he's responsible for. Because on the one hand, you can never undo the damage he's done to the black community with his books.
And
but,
his suits.
But, and his movie. Yeah, and his movie and his suits. Yes, you both are correct. But he has done a couple, like, talking to white people. He's like, told white people, like, well, look, if they say you racist, you tell them this, you know? So it would undo some of that, because it's like, oh, okay, you were just trying to get paid. You still a piece of shit, but I respect the hustle.
It's going to be hard to believe, because, you know, he liked that money.
Mm-hmm. Well, apparently, so he doesn't waste much time dealing with folks who are trying to get the best of him. Just ask his ex-wife Mary Harvey. In any event, the man with 10 jobs quickly responded to Cooper's claims with a lawsuit of his own against Cooper. Harvey's docs claim Cooper is trying to extort him by selling old videos of his comedy routines that date more than 20 years back. So maybe he was practicing his stand-up and he recorded that, and now he's like, look, I have audio of Steve Harvey saying racist stuff about white people.
Anyways, white people are too damn sensitive anyway. So what? He said some shit about you. And
right.
Sis, mind your business.
Mr. Cooper has initiated a campaign to essentially extort me and embarrass me as I started to build my entertainment career, TV radio show host said in court documents. It's also being reported that Joseph has been trying to auction off the tapes to Harvey's employers whenever he is hired to inform them of potentially embarrassing material or no tapes, attempts to have them influence Harvey to pay for the tapes. So he's going to like Family Feud and being like, I got tapes of him saying racist stuff.
Family Feud, like, he the best thing ever. Our ratings is the highest it's ever been. Come on down, Steve.
Yeah, the guy called Steve Harvey the worst person that's ever been on television, so mm-hmm. it might be personal.
It might be, but I'm, you know, feel how you feel. I love him on Family Feud.
Mm-hmm. Harvey admitted that the tapes contain material that's a lot edgier than his family-oriented jokes he now uses. And,
so he can't evolve?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, he can, of course. He said, I didn't have to concern myself with branding or imaging or anything. You could just say, I thought I was funnier. But the question is, will his fans be laughing when they hear him call the white people honkies? I don't know.
His old black fan base that still listen to radio? Them people?
White people watch Family Feud and shit too, though.
Not Family Feud, I'm about the radio.
Well, he's bigger than just radio now. I know. It's not just one thing anymore. Now it's Miss America and all this shit, you know? So I can see how it might be potentially damaging to him for it to come out in certain circles. I think he's pretty much, I think this is a non-scandal though, and a non-starter. So anyway, 0 to 100, how much you feel fucked with Leslie?
Only because of Steve Harvey, I'm gonna just say 50%. 50, I give it a 50.
Karen?
Mm-mm, I'm not fucked with it all.
Not fucked with it all? Mm-mm. Okay. I'm gonna go with 0 as well. I can't be bothered. Mm-mm. You know, I'm not jumping in the front of a bullet for Steve, but at the mm-hmm. same time, I don't feel like this is a real problem for Steve either. Like, especially if it's funny, it's just gonna be unreleased jokes. You know, it's just gonna be shit. It might be something I fuck with, because I liked him when he first came out before he started telling people how to get a man. You know, when he wasn't being serious and he was just making funny ass joke shit. King of Comedy still hilarious, man. Mm-hmm. Oh man. Remember when he was talking about, he was like talking about the love songs back in the day and the new songs with the rappers. Mm-hmm. Talking about, I whatcha and all that shit. It was so good. You know, now look at him. Mm-mm. Remember that part about Ray Caruth? Oh, mm-hmm. Classic.
We was in Fayetteville when that happened. Yeah, we went to the movie theaters to go see it live.
I'm like, get your dumb ass out of that trunk. Oh, now look at him. Giving advice and trying to be a family man.
Jamaican, he got 45 jobs.
All right, let's see. Anything else for fucking with black people? Oh, Kanye West tells black people to stop focusing on racism and he would have voted for Trump. I feel like we covered this already. Mm-hmm. So I'm gonna skip him. We know you would have voted for Trump. You're great. Here's one. A Detroit TV anchor has resigned after telling her colleagues she's tired of covering niggers killing each other. Wait, did we do this one?
No,
we didn't do this one. Man, they're so similar these days. God, I feel like I did this already. Lauren Paudel.
I don't know. I might not have been paying attention, but I don't remember.
Well, you're just the co-host of the show. There's no need to pay attention. Lauren Paudel, a local NBC news reporter in Detroit, Michigan, resigned Wednesday after word got out of her use of the N-word. She's 31. She reportedly used it in conversation with a coworker. And the news got out that around the office this week, she said to a crew member, I'm tired of reporting on the niggers killing each other in Detroit. So she resigned effective immediately. She
the
said
fact that this bitch got to resign alone is just fucking 100 just off that alone. That she had the option to do anything.
Yeah. I'm not going to get fired. I resigned. She says during my time at WDIV, I have created many friendships and I will continue to cherish. If you receive any media inquiries, please forward them to Jamie or me. Thanks.
I think she's Trump's press secretary now, isn't she?
Yeah. Who knows? She'll be on WFNZ JY across the street next week.
Word of Podell's statement got around after Sam Riddle, a former chief of staff for former Detroit City Councilwoman Monica Conyers, quoted the reporter's words in a Facebook post. Riddle expressed his discontent over the matter and said demonstrations were underway for Thursday morning to protest racism as a systemic issue and the news outlet's racist cover-up. I'm tired of reporting on these niggas killing one another in Detroit at Local 4 Lauren. Ooh, he put that at in there. Bet, rest in peace your career then. Lauren Podell has resigned. He posted next. So yeah, she took that L. And they still gonna, go and protest. They said also she came under fire in 2013 after dropping an F-bomb live on TV. She says, I don't have interruptible feedback. I don't know where we're going. Neither does Jim. I can't get this fucking in there. And she didn't get fired for that. 0 to 100. Karen?
0 to 100. 100.
What about you, Leslie?
Definitely 100.
All right. 100 for me as well. Oh, wait. She did get fired.
She didn't get fired. She quit.
Mm-hmm. She resigned. Mm-hmm. Yeah, 100. Yep. Mm-hmm. Ofcom rules that, ITV's Corey has been cleared over a race row after Ofcom rules controversial comments didn't breach rules. An episode of Coronation Street, which sparked hundreds of complaints over claims of racism, did not breach the broadcast code, the TV watchdog has ruled. Ofcom investigated an episode broadcast on ITV in August in which a character described her hair as having more roots than Kunta Kinte.
Now them some roots, girl. Them some roots for real. Oh, that's a good one.
The remark refers to Roots, the novel by American author Alex Haley, which features the 18th century African slave of that name. A 1977 TV miniseries based off the book was a global sensation. The comment sparked an online backlash, with outraged viewers branding it racist and culturally insensitive. Ofcom also received 472 complaints about the episode. Today it published a ruling saying the comment did not breach the code. In a decision that is likely to outrage those who were offended by the original episode, the Kunta Kinte remark was made as a character, Eva Price, played by Catherine Tildesley, 32, paid a visit to the hair salon. Looking in the mirror at her dyed hair, she said, "I have more roots than Kunta Kinte. No idea who that is, by the way. Just something my mom used to say." Wow, they really fleshed that whole line out. Some viewers were quick to criticize the comment on Twitter. Olivia Brown wrote, "2016, and you wonder why there's a rise in hate crime, racial inequity, and xenophobia. At ITV Corey, utilizing oppression as flippant humor." The Slavery Remembrance Organization wrote, "At ITV, would you script I've Got More Secrets Than Anne Frank's Diary? Thought not. Racial bias. Hashtag Black Lives Matter. Hashtag Coronation Street." But some did not think the comment was offensive. You know what I'm saying? With a number taken to Twitter in defense of the show's script. The regulator investigated whether the remark breached a section of the broadcast code, which states broadcasters must ensure that material which may cause offense is justified by context. That's a pretty broad rule. I don't know how do you justify something by context? You wrote it, so by that nature it's within context. I don't know how you would, I mean, would you just randomly have a character say nigger for no reason? I mean, is that the only time the rule comes up? Can you pass me that Grey Poupon? By the way, niggers.
Am I right?
Anyway, let's go back to what we were doing. Like, that covers everything. What a dumbass rule. Go ahead, Leslie. I'm sorry.
Show's been on the air since 1960, though. That Coronation Street's interesting. 9,000 episodes of this thing.
Holy shit. And people still mad, still watching it.
Still watching this shit.
It's like their Simpsons, I guess, but with live action people.
I'm a panda. This is not in the United States. I've never heard of this shit before.
Nah. Okay. Although I got more roots than Kunta Kinte, could be like a fabulous line.
I know, Blake. That's why I was like, that'd be a bomb rap line.
FABO. Anyway, guys, 0 to 100. Karen,
50, because at least the shit made me laugh. Most of the time, racism makes me angry.
You know, part of me wonders if the part of the line that says "I don't know what it means" counts as not having context. You know. Cause you even said you don't know what it means as a character. Anyway, Leslie, 0 to 100.
I'm 25 for a few reasons. One, they didn't indicate whether the person who said the line was black. So,
she's white. Like she's white.
If it was white, all right, 50 then. I was willing to give it a 25 if it was a black character that said it. Then I was like, you know, that could come up. It was a good line, and it's a soap opera. I mean, how much are we expecting from it?
You want to know what's weird? Mother. What's weird to me is the people that want the actress to apologize.
She didn't write the
Why
line.
Why does she have to apologize?
I don't know. That's just right. Didn't it? It's like people are at ITV Corey. I see you ain't apologized. It's like what the fuck? I read from the script. You know what I mean? Really? Like, for me, I'll have to give it. God, you know what? Zero. I'm gonna give it a zero. I'm not really fucked with. I'm not. I want to be, but I'm not. It did make me laugh the first time I read it. Mm-hmm. I was like, that's clearly clever. And then I was like, y'all got different rules over there. You can call and report the TV show. That's some shit. It would never cross my mind as an American. When I see racist shit on TV, I just be like, did y'all see so-and-so last night? Like over there, they just be like, call 1-800, report these motherfuckers.
Yeah, because we not white.
That Snoop Dogg and Martha Stewart show. Have you watched any of that show?
I refuse. No.
I don't even, we only saw the first episode and I was so disturbed by almost all of it. And the shit that they said on that show, we kept going like, I can't believe that they actually allowed them to say this on the air and put it up.
Yeah, I'm sorry, but you just can't put, you can't put a person who's an American treasure on TV with a person that's a fucking convicted felon and expect me to watch that shit. You know what I mean? So I'm sorry. It's, if you're gonna put the American treasure of Snoop Dogg up there with that convicted felon Martha Stewart, you won't catch me watching. Sorry, America.
No, let's, I don't care how good her omelets are.
Right. All right, let's go to something a little more fun, guys. Okay. Been a lot of stressed out over here, and I feel like we should, I don't know, we should definitely do some white people news, if that's okay with everyone. Let's see, white people love this song, right?
Hey, yeah, you know what, I like to play, no diggity, no doubt, play on, play it. Yo, Dream drop the verse. It's going down, fade to Black Street. The homies got at me, collab creations. Bump like agony, no doubt. I put it down, never slouch. As long as my credit can vouch, a dog couldn't catch me. Say out. Tell me who could stop with Dre making moves, attracting honeys like a magnet. Giving them orgasms with my mellow accent. Still moving this flavor with the homies Black Street and Teddy, the original rough shakers.
Shutting it down, good lord. Baby got them open all over town. Strictly business, don't play around. Cover much ground, got game by the pound. Getting paid is a forte. True play away. I can't get her out of my mind. Wow.
Think about the girl all the time.
Wow, wow.
East side to the west side. Pushing fat rides. It's no surprise. She got tricks in the stash. Stacking up the cash. Fast when it comes to the fast. By no means average.
It's on when she's got to have it.
Baby, you're a perfect 10.
I wanna get in. Can I get down so I can win? I like the way you're working, no diggity, I got to back it up. I like the way you're working, no diggity, I got to bag it up. I like the way you're working, no diggity, I got to bag it up. I like the way you're working, no diggity, I got to bag it up.
She's got class.
All right, now let's talk about white people
so,
stuff.
Before you start, mm-hmm. we happen to, Drew and I listened to the most recent episode that Nick, Jew, and Reggie were on for your show mm-hmm. on the plane on the way back from Jamaica. If you recall, you did all white people news that day.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. We almost peed ourselves on the plane. It was really obscene, like bad, bad, bad. People were looking at us and everything. I'm very excited I get to actually be here for some white people news. So.
Yeah, I'll probably end on white people news today, mm-hmm. you know? I'm like, why not?
Yeah.
It's been a pretty nice day, you know? No need to get racist with some guests to race. We've been having a good conversation.
Yes.
Maybe we'll end on a high note with some white people news. And of course, sword ratchetness. I mean, come on. of course, white people news is brought to you by Bevel. That's right. Bevel's the first and only shaving system designed specifically for coarse, curly hair and sensitive skin. Step up your shave game and say goodbye to razor bumps. Go to getbevel.com/TBGWT and enter, and you can get your first month free. All you gotta do is go to getbevel.com/TBGWT. It's funny, some dude hit me up on Facebook Messenger like yesterday or 2 days ago, and he was like, hey man, thinking about getting Bevel, do you actually use it or do you just like, and I was like, no, he said, do you know anybody that uses it? And I said,
me,
every fucking time I do the read I tell you that I'll use it. I would never sell some shit that I didn't use myself.
So many people do. So.
I don't, like, it's just a matter of integrity, man. I don't want to be up here lying and then y'all be like, well, it didn't work for me and now I got cancer, right? Who gonna fix my cancer? You know, like, if you know, if you get cancer from Bevel, then we get it together because I'm using the shit myself. I was like, should I be offended? Like, I think I even responded to him, like, should I be upset right now? Cause you know, I say every time that I shave with it myself, right? And he was like, yeah, man, I didn't know if he was lying. I was like, I don't know if I'm supposed to be mad right now.
Cause so many people actually promote products that they do not use.
Well, all I know is this much. If you listening, nigga, you better get that shit, okay? cause you already offended me, but I did tell you that I use it, and I do use it, and it does work, so I'm vouching for it. Yeah, so give it a try. I mean, first month free. And then he was like, yeah, cause you can't pass up this price. I was like, why are you even asking me?
Free is always good. And shout out to the white people trying it, cause one dude was like, hey, my hair curly too.
Right. I try some shit. I would try if I was listening to a podcast that gave away free pampons. I try it for free. Nigga, it's free.
Yes, it's free.
What do I know? Maybe it works. Use it to stop bleeding if I cut my arm or something. I don't know. Ah! Might come in handy. Maybe I can do some agave shit with it. Anyway, getbevel.com/TBGWT. First month free. All right. White people news, guys. And it's a pretty sad day in white people news.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. A lot of breakups happening and stuff. A lot of breakups. Apparently, Naya Rivera is divorcing her husband, Ryan Dorsey, after 2 years of marriage and one child.
They wasn't together long.
They wasn't together that long because she was engaged to some other dude, Big Sean. Mm-hmm. Then she left him, or he left her, depending on who you talk to.
Mm-hmm.
And she just had a book come out about her life, which I don't understand since she ain't done shit yet, but whatever. Wow, that's a sad day.
Yeah, he's
pour one out.
She's 29, Ryan's 33, and they filed for divorce last week. Her lawyer says she's asking for primary custody of their 1-year-old son, Josie, with visitation rights for Ryan. They started dating in their early 20s, but got back together in 2014. In recent months, Naya was seen with only her wedding band on. But in early November, she wore her $100,000 diamond engagement ring again when getting dinner at Catch in West Hollywood. There have been no signs, however, that their marriage was on the rocks. Rivera and Dorsey tied the knot in 2014 after dating for just a few months. In her tell-all book, Sorry Not Sorry, she reveals her relationship. I'm sorry. I know she's not white, but that's the whitest title ever. Sorry, not sorry. She reveals her relationship with Ryan goes back farther than expected. What is she supposed to be sorry for?
I don't know.
She's only 29. Like, what have people come in her neck for where she's like, you know what? I said it, okay? Miracle Whip is better than mayonnaise, and I'm not taking it back. Chapter 1.
Yes, I stand by. I have a question. Mm-hmm. Now, Ryan Gosling, I've heard of him before. I've heard of this woman before. What did she do? Was she an actress, performer, singer?
She's an actress. She was on Glee, I believe.
Okay, I didn't watch that, so that's why. Okay.
Singer, kind of, too, I think, allegedly.
And she's a singer as well? Okay.
Well, they sang on that show, and I think she tried to have a single or two. I don't think it worked out, but.
Well, she's revealed that her now husband, Ryan, melted her heart with kindness after she told him she aborted his baby following their split back in 2010. The Glee starlet discovered she was pregnant weeks after breaking up with the actor and decided to terminate it so she could concentrate on her career. Maybe that's what she's not sorry about. She probably got shit for that. Go ahead, you say, Leslie.
She definitely would have got shit for that, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Appearing on the chat, The Real, the chat show The Real. Yes.
Sucks now. They kicked Tamar off it.
Oh, for real? She got kicked off?
Kicked off. All of them girls, they stabbed her right in the back and kicked off the show.
Mm-mm-mm. Well, you know what? Mm-hmm. She'll have to be on the Braxton Family Matters or whatever.
Ah! I guess
she said on that show, Steve Harvey gave her own talk show. So.
Oh, okay. She came up. Ain't nothing to complain about.
I ain't mad at her.
When I made that decision, I made it by myself. As I feel is the case for a lot of women, I did not share it with Ryan at the time. By the time we sort of reconnected, I was like, gosh, there's a reason why you keep coming back in my life and we keep coming back together. I was like, I have to tell you something. He said, in the short time that we dated, I wish I could have done something to make you feel like you could have trusted me with that information because I would have loved to have been there with you. His understanding attitude made the actress realize how deep her feelings were for her future husband. I think it was the kindest, best thing any man could have ever said in that situation. It just made me love him that much more. Naya is currently filming the comedy Mad Families, starring alongside Charlie Sheen, Leah Remini, and Clint Howard. Ryan has just completed the crime drama film Cali the Killer, which is set to release this year. Also, in her tell-all, Rivera revealed she caught Big Sean with Ariana Grande.
Oh, okay. And Cali the Killer sound like a cat.
It sounds like a straight-to-DVD release is what it sound like.
mm-hmm. come in a lifetime.
Yeah. That cat gonna kill you. Could you imagine Cali the cat just coming in and just taking folks out?
Is Cali the killer? But yeah, sure.
Cats kill people.
Okay. I don't know how your mind works. All this time we've been together, I don't know where that came from.
I don't know. I might be scared if I was you, Rod. It's a little concerning.
Not me. I don't kill people, kitty cats, because they vicious.
We've been fighting for 5 straight days when he was traveling, and then one day he was back in LA. He said he didn't want to see me, she wrote. Because she had a key to his house, she let herself in and saw Grande. Guess what? Little girl was sitting cross-legged on the couch listening to music. She said it rhymes with Smariande Schmande. Okay. She should not have written a book. She does not have that interesting of a life.
Also,
yet.
Didn't write the book. I'm pretty sure somebody else wrote that book for her. They just did it like as dumbly as they could, so it sounded like her. Because she the same one that said, somebody said in the chat here that said that bathing every day was a white people thing, and that people tell her don't take a bath every day.
I remember that. Like, yeah, like you stink. You know,
wash your ass.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if you can't keep a husband. Oh wait, let me stop.
Oh, anyway. And then you wonder why Big Sean over here with Ariana Grande. I bet she take a shower. In more white people news, there's no going back. Jesse Nelson split from fiance Jack Roche weeks ago despite defiant return of her engagement ring over the weekend.
Who are those people?
I was about to ask the same question, sweetie.
I know most people. This is I'd never heard none of those names before ever.
This is why we do this segment, okay? Isn't it relaxing having no stake in these people's lives? Just get to judge them and move on.
Yeah, because I'm always like, who?
I feel like the way we feel about these white folks is the way on white people podcasts, when they're like, these black people keep protesting in the streets. Jesus. Like they
another one died. Who is this one? Trayvon Martin. Now, who? I don't know. Do you know who he is?
Like, we had the same dismissive attitude of like, who? I don't know her. Like, right?
I don't.
Anyway, Jesse Nelson, and it's spelled Jesy.
Okay, all right.
Rich white people names just as bad as poor black people. Mm-hmm. That's right.
That in common,
and they judge us for ours, right?
Come on,
right? She could put Jesse on a resume and still get a job.
Right. She could put apple pecan pie on a resume,
right,
and get a job.
But if we put Jesse on a resume, it's ghetto. Okay, I see you, whiteness.
Come on.
Jesse Nelson's romance with fiance of 18 months, Jack Roche, was once again thrown into scrutiny as sources tell The Sun that the duo have been broken up for weeks, despite Jesse wearing her engagement ring on a TV appearance on Sunday. The 25-year-old Little Mix songstress. Oh, she sings. Okay. She first sparked split reports when she was spotted without her engagement ring, yet the return of her rock last week appeared to point to harmony. Oh, you guys have got to see this couple. Hold on.
What's Little Mix? Is that a group? I'm so confused right now.
Maybe it's a song?
Must be how my mom feels all the time. Just confused.
A young Yachty? No, it's Little Yachty. Little Boat?
That sounds like me. I learned about Little Boat. From Breakfast for Dinner.
Wait a minute.
That's the couple right there.
What happened to him? Why they both look like they going to the prime?
I'm so confused right now. Why does he look 13 though?
Right. Why he look like he just got his Nintendo? What's happening here?
Clearly lives in his mother's basement. What's happening right now? What is going on here?
Yes.
He gotta be rich.
Yeah, and she looked like his oldest.
One step away from loving hip hop, I don't know, Topanga or something. This is crazy.
Yeah, do we need to call the police on her? She done got somebody's child.
Yeah, he looked like a Harry Potter cosplayer.
Joe Spacey said he looks like he built her.
The couple were surrounded by rumors of a split after it emerged that they had unfollowed each other on Instagram and Jesse stopped wearing her engagement ring on public appearances. Jake and Jesse have been engaged for a year and a half after the singer employed the help of Ed Sheeran to propose to Jesse in 2015 while on stage at the Manchester Evening News Arena. Oh, so he's a singer.
That's a simp-ass move right there. Ed Sheeran.
Mm-hmm. Contrary to reports of parting ways in an interview 2 months ago, Jesse admitted that there was no rush to tie the knot and insisted they are deeply in love. Insiders tell The Sun the couple have split already, saying their relationship became strained and they grew apart. They started rowing and it became too much. Oh, he looks cooler here. I mean, it's not much cooler.
Does he though?
He looks cooler than, listen, he got a long way to go, okay? Look at this picture and then look at this picture. He had a ways to go, and I'm just saying, it's better this one than the other one's extremely worse.
Yeah, at least.
But it just reminds me of that joke, you know, two white dudes walk into a bar because it's set so low. That's what this shit is, where you're giving him a pass for this half-ass makeover.
Well, listen, the bar was low. When it's low, it's low. I'm just a realist, okay? I'm pragmatic. It was not, he was not gonna make it to adult, to the adult division.
Nah, he looked like he just turned 18 on a college campus somewhere.
He looks better here without his glasses, I guess. You know?
Yeah, still look young.
Looks like a rejected New Direction band member.
Right?
Like,
doesn't he?
Make it in a New Direction.
It's like the kid that they had.
Wrong Direction.
Wrong Direction, yeah. It's like the kid they had before they kicked him out and put Justin Timberlake in their group. Like, it's like that.
I think we made the right move, guys.
Yeah. I mean, he looks better here, I guess. Oh, man. This is bad. Why does he wear the same shoes in every picture?
Why does he keep wearing socks with those shoes? Those shoes are not supposed to be worn with socks.
They look like pilgrim shoes.
Yeah, people and they're bright white.
They're also the type of people that call somebody every time they go somewhere. So they should have somebody dressing them. Like, they know they're going to be photographed. Their intention is to be photographed. I don't understand it.
Well.
Maybe. Does this look good to these people? I'm so confused.
Well, I feel sorry for him. Got his heart broke, probably. What if he broke up with her, though? Mm-hmm. He was like, I can do better.
Yeah, they might have broke up on Instagram because I don't know why. I mean, so if I ever unfollow you on Instagram, did that mean the marriage is over? Apparently, that's where you go break up with people.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I stopped following Drew years ago, so.
Yeah. In all fairness, Drew follows everybody. So.
That's true. He's a follow backer.
Yeah. Let's see. Shelley Duvall's controversial Dr. Phil interview inspires a GoFundMe campaign to help the star.
Shelley Duvall from Popeye?
Yeah. Yeah, that appears to be her. Apparently, it's not above Dr. Phil to exploit people.
Okay, yeah, I'm very confused because I'm thinking about a porn actress. Ain't there a porn actress named something Duvall?
Lacey Duvall?
Right, that's what I was like. Wait a minute, this is white people news. I'm like, this don't make no sense.
You didn't have to say that. You could have kept that to yourself. But you shared it with the class, and I appreciate you for that. When the Dr. Phil show released promos for their television personality interview with actress Shelley Duvall, which aired Friday, people were horrified. Duvall, whose last film credit is 2002's Manna from Heaven, revealed on the show that she's suffering from mental illness, but instead of helping her like the show claimed to be doing, Dr. Phil just goaded her on with questions about what she believes her late Popeye co-star Robin Williams is doing right now, and if she thinks the president is sending her coded messages.
Wait, when was this from? Because Robin Williams is dead. I'm so confused. Right.
He asked her in 2016. The episode's not out yet. I guess the preview came out. He basically it seems, exploited her mental illness to be like, what do you think Robin Williams is thinking right now from beyond the grave? And then just was like, look at her, y'all, she's answering it, you know? Now Vivian Kubrick, daughter of Stanley Kubrick, who directed Duvall in The Shining, has started a GoFundMe page to raise money so the actress can get real help. Like many older movie stars, the fundraising page reads, embarrassed finances is not uncommon. Showing your love and support for Shelley Duvall by making a donation can start her back on the road to independence and perhaps back to health for her fans' more superb performances. At time of publication, the page has raised more than $15,000 in donations and it has a fundraising goal of $100,000. After the clips teasing the interview were released on Wednesday, Kubrick published a scathing letter to Dr. Phil on Twitter. You are putting Shelley Duvall on show while she is suffering from a pitiable state of ill health. Unquestionably, this is purely a form of lurid and exploitative entertainment. It's appallingly cruel. Shelley Duvall was a movie star. Whatever dignity a mere unfortunate creature might have in this world is denied her by your displaying her in this way. I recoil in complete disgust. I hope others will join me in boycotting your utterly heartless form of entertainment because it has nothing to do with compassionate healing. Sincerely disgusted, Vivian Kubrick. She explained that she and Toy Story director Lee Unkrich, who was writing a book about the making of The Shining, were both horrified by Dr. Phil's promos. And she said all the funds that she's raising are going to Shelley Duvall. Mia Farrow said, shame on Dr. Phil. If he has a shred of decency, he must not air a TV show exploiting a beloved, talented actor, Shelley Duvall. Al Roker got in there. How about first treating Shelley Duvall away from your cameras and if successful presenting before and after? But that was shameful. And this shameful exploitation of Shelley Duvall at Dr. Phil needs to explain why he would do this.
Hey, Al Roker been getting real fresh these days.
Hey.
But I've been wondering now that, that thing is president.
Mm-hmm.
Does this mean Billy Bush is forgiven? I just want to know, just so I understand what happens.
Oh, I guess we'll see what job he ends up with, right? That's how we'll know.
But I just feel like if the dude that participated and gets to be president, how the fuck you gonna fire Billy Bush from being on today's show? I'm just asking.
Yeah, I mean, I guess we'll see what job he ends up with, and that'll show where America is with him. You know, if he ends up on MSNBC, then we'll know that America's still angry. let's see what else happened. Deborah Messing and Susan Sarandon are still fighting on Twitter.
Susan Sarandon is the actress. Am I wrong? I know that much.
No, you're right. You're right.
I was like, I remember that name.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know who the other woman is.
Way back in the innocent days of spring, two actresses got into a fight on Twitter. In one corner, longtime activist, progressive voice, and Bernie Sanders supporter Susan Sarandon. On the other, longtime activist, progressive voice, and I'm with her, Deborah Messing. Sarandon was under fire for implying in an interview that she would rather see a Trump presidency than a Hillary one. Messing was ready to throw a couple of, albeit fairly reasonable, 140 character uppercuts in response. All in all, the level of enmity never rose above a terse parents at a PTA meeting, albeit on a national interest scale. Fast forward to the present day and things are getting testy again. This time it's because Ms. Sarandon recently tweeted that the left needs to reach out in a dialogue to those who voted for him. We can't afford a blanket judgment of them. We need allies in that camp possible. So it began again. Deborah Messing read that shit. She was like,
who are you finna try? I bet it ain't me. Oh, bitch, it ain't me. Cap. Who are you finna?
She was like, no, ma'am.
Yeah, yeah.
I ain't reaching shit but this middle finger.
Ass, though. I went off on her the other day, too, on Twitter. She's horrible.
Oh, Sarandon?
Horrible.
Yeah, I still think she got one of the best. She has one of them. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Leslie. Go ahead.
Well, just she been on this whole like we got to listen to the Trump supporters. We got to understand them. And yeah. And then she was complaining. I'm like, stop fucking complaining. Your entire point for the last 2 years has been anybody but Hillary. You don't get to complain because guess what? It ain't fucking Hillary. Shut the fuck up.
Yeah, it's weird watching like Sean King's doing that, making that pivot, like. I saw him.
Talcum X. I can't do it today.
Somebody, I saw. I think it was Chris put out someone put out like they went and found a screenshot of him. Like right now, he's currently being like anybody that says that Trump and Hillary are the same. You know, on social media, y'all should be ashamed of yourselves. Da 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 da. And then someone had a screenshot from him just a couple months ago, being like, "To me, Hillary and Trump are the same." It's like, how you gonna fucking what you just said? You know what I mean? This is such a like moment.
Yeah, he did this talking about that. Lovey was talking about it.
Who it was. Lovey, yeah.
This ninja is one of these dudes that just sits around Googling himself all day. Must be, because I swear he's like Beetlejuice. You say his name three times and he, poof, here he comes.
Yeah.
Got something to say. Right. So he did that. And his response was, well, look at this critique Michelle Alexander gave. It was worse than mine.
Yeah, that's terrible, man. There's no excuse. Like, you can't do, it's like the Black Dynamite, I sell drugs in the community moment for him. Cause it's like, dude, you did that. And there's a lot of people that are doing, Michael Moore, there's a lot of people going around that, you know, they did the purity test shit to the point where it was like, well, fuck it, I'd rather have Trump. And then you get him and then it's like buyer's remorse immediately and maybe we can work with him and all this shit. And you're like, yeah, no. This is what you wanted. So sit back and reap the fruits of your labor, dog.
Their boy coming out being a whole ass as well, kicking Hillary while she's down. He ain't even coming back to the Senate as a Democrat. He's now flip-flop and he's going back to being an independent. Talking about we need to take identity out of liberalism. Listen, I just want, like, someday there must be a reckoning of these fools, for real, for real.
Yeah, Bernie's among the worst.
Because it's really been egregious and disgusting. And look, the people to blame for Trump's presidency are all of the people that voted for him. There's no discussion about that. However, these people's behavior and their inability to take true criticism and actual responsibility for their actions is just disgusting. It just shows their character on such a like basic level that I don't want anything to do with any of them. And I've been blocking them like fucking flies. Block, block, block.
Yeah, Bernie's among the worst too, cause he just said everything that I said he was about, so.
Right.
I just been like, a lot less, my mentions are, the mentions are so free these days. It's just so wide open these days. It's almost as if, I was right and nobody wants to show up and be like, my bad. But it's cool. It's cool.
Where's he up front? Where he at? I'm looking. Can't find him anywhere. Can't find him.
Anywhere, where's the I March with MLK? And even more than that, where are these Blue Lives Matter folks? Mm. And these All Lives Matter folks. We got crickets on that bullshit, too.
Yeah. So Susan Sarandon, Raquel Willis had tweeted, never accept him, never normalize him, never forget his bigotry, never forget how dangerous he is. She responded, true, but reach out in dialogue to those who voted for him. We can't afford to blanket judgment of them. We need allies in that camp possible. And Kurt Eichwald responded, at Susan Sarandon, you never answered me. Are you going to buy health insurance for the millions who will lose it because of your narcissistic purity?
Come on.
By the way, I love that it's white people fighting.
And you can grab your popcorn and watch the mayonnaise fly.
So, Deborah Messon said, Jesus Christ. Now she wants to give racist, Islamophobic, homophobic, sexist, misogynist a chance for pure for Bernie. Fuck everyone else.
She pissed.
Mm-hmm. Susan responded, I know Deborah cares about a lot and I hope she will care about hashtag no DAPL as well, since Standing Rock needs her voice now more than ever. Just trying to change the subject. That's a classic deflection right there. Anyway, white people beefing, these actresses out here in these streets, white people news.
Yeah, I'm for random white folks beefing.
Yep. Speaking of white people beefing on Twitter, Alec Baldwin was beefing with Trump.
Now I know who both of these are.
There you go. All right. Apparently, you know, he was Trump on Saturday Night Live this Saturday, making a joke about Trump winning and stuff. And Trump apparently demanded equal time, which is something that is a law for campaigns and news for publications. Oh, that dude's the president.
Equal time on Saturday Night Live?
Yeah, he wants his equal time.
And like, what? He won. Does he understand that part of it? Like, what do you need equal time for? You're gonna be the fucking president.
Yeah, it's over. He says, I watch parts of at NBC SNL Saturday Night Live last night. It is totally one-sided, biased show. Nothing funny at all. Equal time for us, said Donald Trump. AB Foundation, which I guess is Alec Baldwin's, ABF Foundation is his, Twitter. He says, equal time, election is over. There is no more equal time. Now you try to be prez and people respond. That's pretty much it. You know what I would do if I were prez? I'd be focused on how to improve the lives of as many Americans as possible. I'd focus on improving our reputation abroad, including actually fighting for freedom and not just oil. And I would make appointments that encourage people, not generate fear and doubt. So I guess my man Alec Baldwin had time that day. He was sitting
who
on
the finna try? I bet it ain't me. Ooh, bitch, it ain't me. Caps, who are you
Yep. Then he went on a stroll with his kids, because that's news too in white people's world.
Of course.
Yep. Went on a stroll with his 32-year-old wife, Hilaria, and 17-month-old son, Raphael, walking down the street. Mm-hmm. There you guys go. Let's see. Any other white people news? Oh, there's a new commercial where Drake dances to Taylor Swift.
I was thinking about you when I saw that, actually, Rob.
Mm-hmm. Am I supposed to care? I haven't seen this.
Hold on, Karen. I'm trying to listen to Leslie. You cutting off. Leslie, what were you saying?
I was saying when I saw it, I was like, oh man, Rob would have been way better in this than Drake would have, is what I thought.
Yeah, I'll tell you this much, man. Drake has amazing comedic timing. It's very underrated.
Nah, he does.
He was good in Anchorman. He was good on Saturday Night Live.
He was good on Degrassi High, Don't Sleep.
Yeah, so I don't think I have the... You know what it is? I know why. Okay. The disdain that I saw on him for Twitter was a combination of A, people don't like Taylor Swift. I mean, that's right. Well established. Especially black women don't fuck with Taylor Swift. You know, she's like the fucking, like, if there was a avatar for just like completely, white people getting a pass, she's the one. You know what I mean?
Got replaced by Amy Schumer recently, but it's a very new development.
Yeah, it's up there. And I don't think she's even as bad as some of the white feminism TM people, because she actually does help other women and shit.
Yes.
But she ain't perfect. Mm-hmm. And anytime white people get like white women get a new avatar person, I think the rejection and the pushback comes from the fact that they do promote these people as perfect when they're fucking not. Right. And it's always black people being like, she's not perfect. No. And then it's them being like, why are you hating on her? Just shake it off. It's like, okay, every time she fuck up, I'm gonna be on her ass now. You know, as opposed to just like, it's like if we would have got introduced to Amy Schumer as, oh yeah, she's funny. That would have been enough for people to be like, cool. All right, she's funny. When you produce her as the new face of feminism, oh yeah, she gotta go down, dog.
Yeah. Yeah. when Taylor Swift can come out and every one of her albums is about an ex that she's been with, and very detailed and very dedicated to this person, but anybody else write an album about their ex and all of a sudden people act like something wrong with them, you're like, well, this bitch made all her millions performing about her exes. I don't care.
Yeah, I mean, it's just the fact that, I mean, like,
that's that double standard.
Yeah, it's just a double standard. Right. Yeah, it's the fact that you would come for Beyonce and say you didn't like something she did because of her feminism ain't perfect, but then you stand for Taylor. It's that, I think that's one, part one of the problem. Part two is Drake had got sexy.
Yeah.
Right? Drake had got sexy.
That grown man weight.
He had the beard.
He started filling out a little bit.
He had the beard.
Serena. Yeah.
So I saw people that were like, I never saw it for Drake. And then he put the beard on and shit, and the little couple weights hit the gym. And everybody was like, you know, it's something about that Drake. I don't know. Maybe I was wrong. You know, it was a little bit of that. So you got those two things competing, right? Mm-hmm. Taylor Swift did the commercial where she was working out and she put on Drake and started hitting the treadmill harder and then fell off, and that was like the joke or whatever. Mm-hmm. So you bring all that shit to a head and you got the rumors that he started dating Taylor Swift. Mm-hmm. So it was already some rumblings. And then he put out this music video, I guess, would you call him? I mean, this commercial for the same thing as Taylor Swift, except he's working out. Matter of fact, I think I can play it.
Okay, let me see if I can show you in the chat.
Is it showing up in the chat?
Not yet. No, sometimes it's kind of slow. Right. You might have to refresh that screen.
Well, you let me know. Let me know when you see it. So he basically.
Okay, yeah, I see it.
All right, cool. Let me go back. He basically is working out. All right, let me play this. Oops, sorry, didn't mean to make that quiet. His homeboy leaves while he's working out.
Cause baby, now we got bad blood. You know it used to be
It's the same commercial in reverse, basically.
Oh, that's cute.
Right? I thought it was cute as well. And I knew that white people would love it.
That's very cute. And I don't have no problem with that. And yeah, you're talking about Drake's performances. Yeah, he has very good comedy cues. Like, he can actually do comedy really, really well.
Right. But they do not love it as much as we hate it.
Okay. Oh, I didn't see nothing to hate here. Yeah,
I saw much disappointment on my timeline.
I might dislike certain things. Like, I might dislike certain things about Taylor Swift, but you know, if it's flames, you know, it's flames. Like, she got people producing who make her good songs, and I don't have a problem with this. I thought it was cute.
Well, at any rate, not the black people did not think it was cute. Not the people I follow. They was like, this is the worst thing that has ever happened. Why can't 2016 be over? And shit like that. Like, it was bad. It was bad.
It was that serious.
Yeah.
We almost ended.
It was a bit of like spillover. Like, it was like, and this too. That's what I feel like it was more. If this had, like, let's say Hillary had won, right? And then this came out, I think we would have had a softer landing. But we already was like, fuck all the white people, y'all are the worst, and now you're taking Drake too, motherfuckers. It was like bad.
It was very much like in Trump's America. Yes. This is, you know, like, now we got this.
Yeah, everything is to the 10th degree in Trump's America. Anything, like, they blame Obama, I'm blaming everything on Trump.
Right. All right. Let's see, is there anything else white people knew? Oh, Val Kilmer has apologized. Val Kilmer says Michael Douglas has apologized after making a misinformed claim that the star had throat cancer.
Oh, Val, okay. That's an actor. He's been around forever. Didn't he play Batman?
He did play Batman.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that man old.
That is. He's 56. Michael Douglas is 72.
Now, Michael Douglas is really old.
Yeah, that would be what that would mean.
Any stories about Michael Douglas, seriously, since he told people he got throat cancer from oral sex? I was like, I don't.
Yeah, are him and Catherine Zeta-Jones still together? Because that should have been a deal breaker.
Yeah, you would think so. They break up?
I don't know, because that's like a forgiving-ass woman. If you told somebody, eat my pussy, gave you throat cancer, nigga, we are not together anymore. You know, like, I guess that was your last thing you wanted to ever say to me.
Are they still married? No. Mm-mm.
What'd you say, Karen?
They still married.
Oh, they are. Okay.
The oral sex confession is what led to their they split up and they got back together, and the split came from that statement. So she was pissed, Rod.
I don't blame her, dog. That's a lot.
Yeah, that's a lot, honey. You know, and you know they got money. Yeah, yeah. You tell me my pussy get you throat cancer. I was like, well, buy another pussy. I'm out.
Well, apparently, he fought tongue cancer 6 years ago. He penned him a nice note saying sorry for giving people the wrong impression about his health status. Taking to Facebook on Tuesday night, the screen star wrote, Michael Douglas wrote me a nice note apologizing for suggesting to the press overseas that I wasn't doing too well and was grateful to hear I'm doing well. He's a classy guy. The actor went on to recall meeting Michael's father, Kirk Douglas, who turns 100 on December 9th.
Woo! They live forever, apparently.
Uh-huh. That means we're gonna have many, many more decades of Emilio Estevez. Time to make that comeback, Emilio.
Amen. Come on back.
For the first time on the set of Tombstone, in which he portrayed professional gambler Doc Holliday and Kirk played Deputy Sheriff Wyatt Earp, he added, one day I have to recount the story of when I met his father. He loved my performance in Tombstone so much, having played Doc himself in a mighty fine film. He was so animated about all the choices I was able to do. Same as all the things he wanted to do, but wasn't allowed to. The dialect, the coughing, drunk all day, every day. He was amazing. And the first time I met Michael is a good story too. Oliver Stone insisted I meet him, knowing that what Michael would say about Oliver torturing him during Wall Street. It was hilarious, and Oliver was relishing reliving Michael's pain. It all worked out and all was forgiven on Oscar night, I believe. Earlier this month, Val wrote a 424-word Facebook post insisting Michael was misinformed after he claimed the actor had cancer. The actor said that the last time he spoke to Michael was 2 years ago. He was initially seeking a medical referral for a mysterious lump in his throat. Michael reportedly told the audience at an event in London days beforehand that Val, his co-star in 1996, The Ghost and The Darkness, is dealing with exactly what I had. Pussy cancer? He added that things don't look too good for the 56-year-old, best known for his role in Top Gun and as a singer in Jim Morrison in The Doors. My prayers are with him. That's why you haven't heard too much from Val lately, Michael told talk show host Jonathan Ross. However, Val dismissed his friend's statements earlier this month, writing on Facebook, "I love Michael Douglas, but he is misinformed. Last time I spoke to him was 2 years ago when I asked him for a referral to a specialist for a diagnosis for a lump in my throat, which prevented me from continuing a tour of my play, Citizen Twain. I ended up using a team at UCLA and have no cancer whatsoever," he continued. "I still have a swollen tongue and I'm rehabbing steadily. I've made 3 films in the last year, one of which I directed and presenting as personal appearance, introducing it, and then answering questions after. Come see me live and happy in person in Westwood next week if you think I'm fibbing." So there you guys go. So make sure you guys check out Cinema Twain, as it is a recording of the play that Val Kilmer is in. All right.
I'll pass.
Karen's not going to see it, but the rest of you, make sure you're there. Let's do some sword ratchetness, guys, and then we'll get out of here. All right. There's my sword sound effect. The second fiddle in a samurai sword robbery got 3 years. A Medford man will spend 3 years in prison for playing second fiddle to a samurai sword wielding man during a robbery the two men pulled last month. They stole cash from a man they perceived as a deadbeat dad.
Ah.
So I guess they were collecting child support with a sword point.
Apparently so.
Justin D. Chapman, 31, was sentenced today. Guess the race, white. For second degree robbery after sidestepping almost twice the sentence in a plea agreement. Of course. Cause we don't take swords seriously. Mm-mm. Let's just give them half a sentence. Second degree robbery conviction carries a mandatory minimum of 70 months in prison. According to Oregon sentencing laws, but that law, commonly called Measure 11, allows for a departure in the case because the victim was not hurt, was not in fear of imminent physical injury, and Chapman has no serious past convictions that would have disqualified him from a lighter sentence.
What?
Yep. So they gave him a slap on the wrist. So there you guys go.
It's a shame.
Help this man get back on the streets, robbing people as an accessory to sword ratchetness. Mm-mm-mm. Leslie, thank you so much for being on with us.
Thanks for having me. Thanks for getting me into my little podcast group. I appreciate it.
No problem. When's the next job, man?
This week. We'll be back. We're recording Wednesday, so you'll either get it Wednesday night or Thursday morning. We're back weekly. I'm off tour, thank God. So I'm home for a good stretch of time, which I'm excited about. So it's going to be good. And you guys can follow us at Interracial John. That's JAWN. You can go to iTunes and Stitcher and find us there. Or go to interracialjohn.com. And I'm at Leslie Mack, MAC. And Marissa and I, watching the whole safety pin nonsense happen while we were in Jamaica, put our heads together while we were away. And next week we are launching the Safety Pin Box, which will be a subscription service. So be on the lookout for that. You guys can follow it at Safety Pin Box on Facebook and on Twitter. So for all you guilty white folks, we'll have a nice outlet for you. And you'll get a monthly task to complete, and you can pay us money and make yourselves feel better. So
that is a great idea, man. I thought of that the other day and was like, I mean, as a joke, I'm not gonna do it, but I was like, someone need to get these dollars and leave it to enterprising young black women, man, out here making this money. I don't blame you. I hope you blow up, man. just get all the safety pins bedazzled and everything for these folks.
Yeah, bedazzled, be jeweled.
Your kids' birthstones and all sorts of.
Get one for the doll. We don't care.
All right, guys. We'll be back tomorrow with more of whatever this was today. until then, getbevel.com/TVGWT. I love you.
I love you too. Mwah.